The Tongue, A Creative Force, by Charles Capps. Narrated by Charles Capps. Chapter 1. Words. God's Word, that is conceived in your heart, then formed by the tongue and spoken out of your own mouth, becomes a spiritual force, releasing the ability of God within you. That's why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, in Philippians 4:13. His heart, or spirit, had received God's Word. It was not Paul's ability that made him say that, but the ability of God formed in him by the Word. And out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth spoke. Those that say they can and those that say they can't are both right. Words are the most powerful thing in the universe. We read in John 1:1, In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We must learn to use our words more effectively. The words you speak will either put you over or hold you in bondage. Today, many Christian people have been taken captive by their own words. By the prayer of their own mouth, they have been set in a position where they cannot receive from God. We have all done it at one time or another. We have used our tongue to form the very words that defeat us. We have even prayed contrary to the Word of God. We have prayed defeat and received it. We have prayed the problem, and it became greater. Even prayer produces after its kind. In Mark 11:24, the Word says, What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Jesus has set forth a great truth about spiritual law. God's Word is spiritual law. It functions just as sure as any natural law. We have learned how to work with natural law. In dealing with the natural law that governs electricity, we have learned that if we work with that law by obeying and enforcing it, the electrical force will work for us. But if we continually violate that law that governs or controls electricity, we will get in a heap of trouble. As long as we enforce the law that controls electrical force, it will produce energy, give us light, heat our homes, cook our meals, wash our clothes, and yet it will produce no harm to us. It is a very useful and safe, but we understand and apply the laws by which it is controlled. However, this same force can burn, kill, and destroy if the law that governs electricity is not enforced. So are the words that come forth out of your mouth. They will work for you to put you over in life, if you control those words and bring them into obedience with spiritual law, which is the Word of God. God's Word, governed by spiritual law, becomes spiritual forces working for you. Idle words work against you. The spirit world is controlled by the Word of God. The natural world is to be controlled by man speaking God's Word. The spoken Word of God is creative power. Therefore, even the words of our prayer should be chosen carefully and spoken accurately. We have often prayed, Lord, I have prayed, but it's not working out. The devil has defeated me, but the Word said, What things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. Defeat is not what you desire, so don't pray it or say it. You can see how the wrong choice of words can cause even your prayers to work against you. You have prayed, Lord, I have got this problem and it's getting worse. Now, let's compare this prayer with the Word of God. First, you have prayed the problem and not the answer. The Word said, pray the thing you desire. You desire the answer. Second, you have released faith in the ability of the enemy. To make it worse, you establish the words of the devil. That prayer doesn't work, and things are getting worse. You are walking by sight and not by faith. You have denied the Word of God. You have done it because of a lack of knowledge. In Hosea 4:6, God said, My people are destroyed, are cut off for the lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge has caused men to be destroyed and lives to suffer needless loss. A few years ago, I came upon the scene of an accident. A car had gone out of control and cut off a power pole. The high line wire was hanging about 3 feet above the ground. Many people had stopped and gotten out of their cars. They were standing no more than 3 feet away from that live wire, thinking that it was insulated or that the power was cut off. But that was not true. The wire was live with over 17,000 volts of electricity. I watched from my car, a safe distance away, as the ambulance attendant carried a woman on a stretcher up the highway embankment. As they crawled under the power line, one of them got too close, and the electrical current arced to his body like a bolt of lightning. He died instantly, and the other attendant was critically injured. He violated the natural law that governed electricity. No doubt he did it in ignorance, yet it was fatal. Lack of knowledge did not stop the electrical force. It continued to work. It was the same force that cooked his meals, heated his house, washed his clothes. It was created to work for him and to make life more enjoyable. The very reason for its existence was to supply his needs. But when he violated the law that controlled that force, it destroyed him. Spiritual law is for your good. It is to produce the things you need and desire. But speaking and praying contrary to the Word of God, or spiritual law, will be just as disastrous as violating the law of electricity. We have prayed in all manner of prayer that the Bible doesn't teach. We have prayed to Jesus, and that is an unscriptural way to pray. Words are important. Begin now to become word conscious. Words are like little seeds that produce after their kind. Learn to pray according to the Word of God. God's Word will produce after His kind. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. Matthew 12:35. Jesus said, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." John 16:23-24. Prayer is your legal right to use faith-filled words to bring God on the scene in your behalf, or for another, that your joy may be full. It is the Word abiding in you that causes faith to be present in your words. "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." John 15:7-8. Notice it glorifies the Father when you get your prayers answered and your needs met. Verse 11 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy may that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." Your joy can be full if the word of Mark 11:24 abides in you. When you pray, believe. Faith will make prayer work. Prayer won't work without faith. Faith will work without prayer. Prayer is one of the means of releasing faith. So if we will line ourselves up with the Word of God and release our faith when we pray, we will see the power of God come alive in our lives. God's Word is just as powerful today as it was the day He spoke it. Not one bit of power has left God's Word. God's creative power is still in His Word, just as it was when He stood there in the beginning of time and said, "Light be," and light was. This is the thing I want you to see. You can speak God's words after Him, and they will work for you. But they must be formed in your spirit. They must become a part of you, and they must abide in you continually. The beginning words. In Genesis 1, it says, "God created the heavens and the earth." What did He use to create the heavens and the earth? Hebrews 11:3 says, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made by things which do appear." The world was not made out of things you can see. You can't see spoken words, nor can you see faith with the physical eye. The words that God spoke out of His mouth framed this universe, set it in motion, and it stands today in obedience to the words that God spoke. He said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Genesis 1:6. It came into being and divided the waters from the land. and it's still divided from the land today. The universe is still obeying His command, the words that God spoke, because God said it and let it stay said. He didn't back up and say, maybe it will, or I hope so. No, He said it by the words of His mouth, and all hell stood up and took notice. I really believe that millions of years took place between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, when God created the earth, and verse 2, where He said the earth was void and without form. Because why would God create an earth without form and void? You see, what went wrong from the beginning was that Satan had come in to destroy the work of God on the earth, and now there was darkness on the face of the earth. Then God said, let there be light. It was the creative power that flowed out of God's mouth that turned the universe into light and caused every creation to come into being. In Genesis 1:26 we read, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and give him dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Then God delegated the power to man to dominate this earth. He created Adam, then He put that authority in Adam, and He said, now you dominate the earth. So Adam was the ruler of the earth. Then there came that snake in the garden. The snake said to Eve, you'll not surely die if you eat of that fruit. God knows you'll be like Him if you eat of that fruit. You'll be wise like God. Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, and I guess she talked Adam into it, because the Word said, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. 1 Timothy 2:14. Well, Adam ate of the fruit and turned that power and authority over to the enemy. Then Satan became the god of this world, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. 2 Corinthians 4:4. But Jesus came and got that power back for us. Jesus, God's Word, came and took flesh upon Himself. Have you wondered how God did that? Theologians say it can't be done. A virgin can't bear a child. It's impossible. We have the Word of God, which tells us in Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. The concordant literal New Testament says, it will not be impossible with God to fulfill His every declaration. Whatever God says, He will perform. If you will notice throughout the Bible, God never did do anything that He didn't say first. He said it, then He did it. The power to do it was in the Word. The Bible tells us that He is upholding all things by the Word of His power. Hebrews 1:3. It didn't say by the power of His Word, it said by the Word of His power. The Holy Spirit put that into exactness, the way He wanted them. The Word of His power. If He had said the power of His Word, that would have meant that there is some power in God's Word, but not all power. In other words, that's where His power is, in the Word, in what He says. It's not impossible for God to perform His every declaration. He can declare and do exactly what He says He's going to do. And we find that God created man with the ability to operate in the same kind of faith. Control those words that come out of your mouth and bring them into obedience to the Word of God, which is God's spiritual law. Chapter 2. Creative power in you. Man was created in the image of God and in His likeness. There was creative power that flowed out of God's mouth, and you were created in the image of God. Then, according to the Scriptures and what Jesus said, you have the same ability dwelling and residing on the inside of you. Adam gave man's authority over to Satan. Jesus got that authority back, and He was born of a virgin. The way He was born of a virgin was the way that God created the universe. God said, it will be done. And it is not impossible for God to perform His every declaration. When He found a woman who agreed with Him, it could be done. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Luke 1:34. She didn't doubt it could be done. She just asked how. And He said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Luke 1:35. In verse 38, Mary said, "Be it done unto me according to your word." She agreed with the word, establishing the fact upon the earth, and it came into being. Now, is it so unreasonable to believe that? God said in his word that we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, in 1 Peter 1:23. The word of God implanted in your spirit caused you to become a new creation that never existed before, born again of the Spirit of the living God. The rebirth of the human spirit took place because the word of God lodged in your spirit. It caused you to act upon the word of God. You were born again. You became a new creation. You were once a sinner, but now you're born again, the righteousness of God, fully able to stand in the presence of the Father in holy boldness and say, "Father, I come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus, without fear of condemnation, because I am the righteousness of God in Christ, not a poor sinner crawling around in the dust begging and pleading, 'Dear Lord, help me please,' as some songs say. No, we are the righteousness of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ." That word implanted in your spirit caused you to become a new creation because the word of God declared it. The Word made flesh. Now I want you to see how God caused the virgin to conceive and bear a child. The virgin said, "Be it done unto me according to your word." The Bible says that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us in John 1:14. Now the Word was in the beginning with God. The Word came unto Mary and said, "It will be so." Mary said, "I receive it. Be it done unto me according to your word." She first received the word into her spirit or heart. Then it was manifest in her physical body. The word of God was implanted in her womb. It was the embryo, the seed, and it took upon itself flesh. Just as a living word of God placed in your spirit took upon itself new creation life. The word of God literally formed itself within her womb and took flesh upon it. The Word of God became alive, living, walking, and talking upon the earth. He came here to destroy the work of the devil that was done in Adam. The work that was done in Adam was destroying the creation of God and the ability of God to work through man. When Jesus came, he got the authority back and he delegated it back to man or to the believer. Jesus stood on the mountain before he ascended and said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth," Matthew 28:18. He had it all. Then he turned to the believers and said, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Mark 16:17-18. Jesus is saying, "Now, you go in my name. You cast out demons. You speak with new tongues. You lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Now you see God's power, God's ability, delegated back to man. So man is not restored to his original estate, which he was. He is in better shape than he has ever been. Thank God. The born-again man is a joint heir with Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. If Jesus is the righteousness of God, then you are the righteousness of God in Christ. We need to quit praying and saying, "Lord, I'm unworthy." Thank God, if Jesus is not unworthy, you're not unworthy. You have a right to stand in the throne room of God. We've been beaten down, and the devil has just trampled us in the dust because of a sense of unworthiness. I'll tell you, when the Word of God gets in your spirit, you will never be the same. Lay hold on this Word, rise up, and enter into it. The enemy knows there is power in your words. That is why he tries desperately to get you to confess doubt and fear and unbelief. You see, confessing that you are unworthy after being born again is contrary to the Word of God. You were unworthy, but that old man died with Christ. You are now a new creation in Christ. Anyone in Christ cannot be unworthy. The Word says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21. Faith-filled words. Now let's see what Jesus had to say about faith-filled words. I want you to see how he used his words and how they produced for him. In Mark chapter 11, verses 11 through 14, we read, "And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked around about upon all things, and now eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time for figs was not yet. Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it." Now Jesus had gone to the fig tree to get some figs and found none. And he said, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter," and he just walked off. When they came back that way the next day, in verse 21 says, the disciples called Jesus' attention to the fig tree. They said, I'll paraphrase it for you, "The leaves are withered, that thing died from the roots." Did you notice that, Jesus? The tree you cursed. I've always wondered why Jesus cussed the fig tree. I thought he cussed it when I was a little child. But you see, the word curse means that Jesus spoke negativism to it. I want you to notice that the word that the Bible uses, it said he put a curse on the fig tree. Now, we as believers have put curses on people by the words of our mouth. I've heard people do it. Someone would come and get saved in the service, and they would say, "Oh, I know them. They get saved every time we have a revival. You just watch. They'll go away in 3 weeks. They'll be right back in sin." And sure enough, they were back in sin. They thought that was a prophetic utterance, but it wasn't. It was a curse. And they said, "See, I told you so." They were part of the problem. The words of their mouth worked against that person instead of putting faith-filled words there by saying, God's power is enough to keep them. God's power is enough to hold them. God's power will deliver them, and they'll not fall. I believe they'll stand. They had been deceived by the evil one to tear down what God was trying to build by the words of their own mouth. The God kind of faith. I want you to notice that Jesus knew there was power in his words. When he spoke to the fig tree, it withered and died. Now notice, in verse 22, he said, "Have faith in God," or have the God kind of faith. Then in verse 23, Jesus stopped long enough to tell his disciples how the God kind of faith works. You and I need to know how it works. If you have faith in your heart, it is the God kind of faith. The Bible says in Romans 12:3, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And it is the God kind of faith. He didn't say a measure. He said the measure. It is the same measure that everybody got when they were born again. The problem is, some haven't developed it. The Word tells you how to develop your faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. The literal Greek says, faith cometh by report, and that report comes from God. Hearing what God said will build faith inside you, because he's able to perform his every declaration. Now, Jesus tells us how to apply the God kind of faith and get it to work. Perhaps you've tried it in all kinds of ways. You've tried it by bombarding the gates of heaven, by just praying it over and over and over, and you found that didn't work. Well, let's see something that does work. Let's act on it. Here's what Jesus said. "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Mark 11:23. He didn't say just the things you say to the mountain. He said those things which he saith. Everything you say, you must watch what you say. You have to believe that those things that you say, everything you say, will come to pass. That will activate the God kind of faith within you, and those things which you say will come to pass. He shall have. He didn't say he had it then, did he? He said, he shall have whatsoever he saith. One of the translations says, he shall have whatsoever he is saying. In other words, it shows he's continually saying that. The Bible says, let us hold fast to the confession of our faith, our profession of our faith. Hebrews 10:23. It didn't say hold fast to your prayer. When you hold fast to the prayer, you're holding fast to the problem, because most of the time you've prayed the problem. Turn loose to the problem and get hold of your confession. Quit praying the problem and start saying the answer. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. When you pray and said, Lord, the mountain's getting bigger, it's not getting any better, I've prayed and it's not working out, you were holding on to the problem. You haven't got to the answer. You're not there yet. You're still too involved with the problem. The answer is the confession. The answer is believing and confessing what the Word says. The Word says that it will be removed and cast into the sea. We should continually affirm and confess this. I thank God. Though it looks like the mountain's getting bigger, in the name of Jesus, I see it removed by the eye of faith. By the eye of faith, I see it removed. There is creative power within you. Learn to use it wisely. Chapter 3, Christian Sense. When you continually affirm and confess, I thank God, though it looks like the mountain or the problem's getting bigger, it's not. In the name of Jesus, I see it removed by the eye of faith. Somebody will say, oh, only a nut would say that. If the mountain's still there, if the trouble is still there, and you know it's there, you can't deny its existence. You see, sometimes when I start teaching on this, folks say, it sounds like Christian Science. One lady punched her husband in a service in Texas and said, and my wife overheard them, that sounds like Christian Science. It's not Christian Science. I like what Brother Kenneth Hagin says, it's Christian Sense. I don't deny the existence of the mountain. I deny the right of it to exist in my way. I don't see it as being in my way. I see it in the way the Word said it, removed. The Word says, the just shall live by faith, Hebrews 10:38, and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5:7. But a lot of Christians are walking by sight and not by faith. Let me give you an illustration. Suppose you're driving down a highway at 60 miles an hour, and somebody pulls out three blocks ahead of you, and they're right in the middle of the road, crossways. You slam on your brakes and say, there's a car right in the middle of the road. A car from behind hits you, and suddenly there's a 10-car pileup. Somebody says, what's wrong with you? You say, why, there was a car in the road. Well, sure it was, but it was doing 30 miles an hour, just 2 more seconds. And it would have been gone. You were going totally by what you saw. You observed what was there, then you slammed on the brakes. That's what a lot of Christian people are doing. Whoa, it's still there. It's still there. You have established it. But if you will confess its removal, praise God, when you get there, it's going to be gone. You see, if you drive your car the way you've been driving your spiritual life, you would have wrecked that thing a dozen times. You could see that. You don't pay any attention to the car out there 3 blocks up the road. The computer in your head is telling you he's going 30 miles an hour. In 2 more seconds, he'll be on the other side of the road. There's no danger. I'll just keep going. And you sit there, you see the car, you never flinch, you never reach for the brakes. You just drive along perfectly at ease. Why? Because you have faith in what that guy's doing. You're actually believing something you do not see. You're believing the end results. Driving your car successfully is based on split-second timing. Now, he may decide to just throw on his brakes right there and stop. Then you'd want to know what was wrong with him. Apply that when the storms of life come against you and the devil says, look here, you'll never be able to get over that. Just ignore him and say, thank God, I believe the Word. It'll not be there when I get there. That kind of faith will move mountains. You may get to the foot of the mountain sometimes before it moves. It'll either move or there will be a hole come in it. But if you go to mealy-mouthing around and say, I believe it's getting slower. I don't believe it's going to leave. You're in trouble. Jesus said, say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. Say what you want done with it. Don't go to God and pray, dear God, it's getting worse. He said that you can have what you say. And you said, it's getting worse. That ought to tell you something. Jesus said the God kind of faith works by the words of your mouth. There is no release of the God kind of faith without the words of the mouth. It is released by the words of your mouth. In Luke 17, 5 and 6, the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, increase our faith. In other words, give us more faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. They were standing there by that tree. It probably wasn't close to a mountain. He said, that tree should obey you. He didn't say a word about increasing their faith. In other words, he said, you've got to learn to use what you have. He said, the way you use it is to start saying some things in faith. Plant the seed. Many people have desired healing. They want a harvest of healing and a harvest of physical needs met, but they have never planted a seed. The law of Genesis says everything produces after his kind. I could be the best rice farmer in the state of Arkansas, and I could sit in my house and say, praise God, I believe in rice. My grandfather believed in rice. My daddy believed in rice. My brother believes in rice. Everybody ought to have a field of rice. I could have 10 tons of seed on my truck waiting to be planted. But if I just sit there and praise God because I believe in rice, never act on what I know to plant the seed, I'll never harvest any rice. A lot of Christians are doing that. They're saying, I believe the Lord's able. Yes, brother, I believe he's able to heal me. Well, the devil knows that the Lord is able. That's no profound statement. The thing you must determine is, will he? The Word says he will. Then you must start agreeing with that. The Word is what works. It's not our prayer that works. It's the Word and faith that works. Prayer won't make faith work. We thought if we just pray long enough, it would soon work out. No, it won't. We need to get this straightened out. Faith will make prayer work, but prayer won't make faith work. Faith will work without prayer. Prayer won't work without faith. Now we have determined from the Word of God that you can have what you say. Not many people do because they have never controlled their words. Jesus said it, I didn't. I'm just telling you what he said. I'm smart enough to believe that Jesus knew what he's talking about. Jesus has made a profound statement that you can have what you say through the knowledge of God. Let's read 2 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. How is grace and peace going to be multiplied to you? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. What is some of the knowledge of God? How his faith works. How does God's faith work? If you find out how his faith works, you will know how your faith is going to work. God never did anything without saying it first, and you hardly do either. You say, I'm going uptown. I'm going to work. I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. You always say it before you do it. You're programmed to operate that way. So if you don't say some things in faith concerning some of the things you believe, you'll never operate in faith in those areas. The Word says, 13, we have the same spirit of faith according as I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. 2 Peter 1:3 says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. His divine power hath given unto us all things. All things. How? Through the knowledge of God. He is saying that if you get the knowledge of God, the understanding of God, the wisdom of God, The wisdom of God is the Word of God. Then he said that he has given to you by his divine ability all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, if healing doesn't pertain to life, what does? Finances also pertain to life. Paul said, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus," in Philippians 4:19. Having abundant supply to life and godliness, you ought to have abundance in the name of Jesus. The Word says you can, if you act on the Word of faith, if you begin to do it. Now, it won't happen overnight. That's the thing I want to bear hard on in this book. It won't happen overnight. It won't happen just because you say it one or two times. It is going to happen because you continually affirm what God's Word says until it gets into your spirit and becomes a part of you. James 1:21 says, "Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul." He said, the Word of God engrafted into your spirit will save your soul. The Word of God engrafted into your spirit will deliver you from every circumstance of life. If you have word for it, get it into your spirit. It will deliver you if you will continually believe and affirm that. I don't care how big the mountain looks. You should not be moved by what you see. You should only be motivated by what you believe. The Word is the final authority. Partakers of the divine nature of God. In 2 Peter 1:4, "Whereby, or by this, by the divine ability of God, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature." What nature? The divine nature of God. He said, you are partakers of God's nature. Praise the Lord. Partakers of God's nature. What kind of nature does God have? Righteousness. Righteousness. Not unworthy nature. God doesn't have that. He is righteousness. He said, you're a partaker of the righteousness of God. "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." 2 Corinthians 5:21. The very nature of God should dominate your spirit when you're born again. Now, I didn't say that it automatically dominates your body. That's where a lot of people have it all squirreled up. When they were born again, they thought their body got saved. They thought their head got saved. Later, they wanted to do some things that were wrong after they were born again. And the devil said, if you were saved, you wouldn't want to do that. You must not have received anything. You must not have been saved, or you wouldn't have those bad thoughts. Well, I have news for you. Your head didn't get saved. Your body didn't get saved. Your spirit was born again. You were created the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus with God on the inside. Now, he must permeate outward, and the spirit man must bring the body in subjection to the spirit. You have to mortify some deeds of your body to go to church, to hear God's Word, to read this book. This body or flesh has to be disciplined to the Word of God. Your body does not always want to do the things your spirit would do. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. Galatians 5:17. Sometimes your body will say, oh, I'd rather not. And the spirit man on the inside of you will say, get up, body, you're going. Either your spirit or your body is going to dominate you. And when you're born again, your spirit is supposed to dominate the body. You notice the word supposed to. Sometimes your spirit doesn't dominate because you fail to act on what you know. The Word says you're partakers of the divine nature of God. If you are partakers of the divine nature of God and God spoke and caused creation to come into being, what do you think is going to happen when you start saying some things in faith? Jesus said you can have whatsoever you say, if you doubt not and believe in your heart the things you are speaking. In the book of James, chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, it says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend the word, the same is a perfect man, and able to bridle the whole body." Now let's read verse 2. In the Amplified Version of the Bible, "For we all often stumble and fall and offend in many things. And if anyone does not offend in speech, never says the wrong things, he is a fully developed character and a perfect man, able to control his whole body and to curb his entire nature." Verse 3 says, "If we set bits in a horse's mouth to make them obey us, we can turn their whole bodies about." The Greek word that has been translated offend in the King James Version of the Bible is translated stumble in the Amplified Version. "For in many things we stumble, if any man stumble not in word." Now doesn't that change the meaning of the situation? If you don't stumble in your wording, he said, the same is a perfect man and able to bring his whole nature into obedience. You can understand that. We have stumbled with our words. Now verse 3 in the King James says, "Behold, we put bits in a horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body." He said the thing that is in the horse's mouth causes the whole horse to turn in any direction. Verse 4 through 6 says, "Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." The same verses in the Amplified says, "If we set bits in a horse's mouth to make them obey us, we can turn their whole bodies about. Likewise, look at the ships. Though they be so great and are driven with rough winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, control his whole body to curb his..." Now let's read verse 2 in the Amplified Version of the Bible. "For we all often stumble and fall and offend in many things. And if anyone does not offend in speech, never says the wrong things, he is a fully developed character, a perfect man, able to control his whole body to curb his entire nature." Verse 3 says, "If we set bits in a horse's mouth to make them obey us, we can turn their whole bodies about." The Greek word that has been translated offend in the King James Version of the Bible is translated stumble in the Amplified Version. "For in many things we stumble, if any man stumble not in word." Now, doesn't that change the meaning of the situation? If you don't stumble in your wording, he said, the same is a perfect man and able to bring his whole nature into obedience. You can understand that. We have stumbled with our words. Now verse 3 in the King James Version says, "Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that he may obey us. We turn about their whole body." He said the thing that is in the horse's mouth causes the whole horse to turn in any direction. "Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about by a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." The same verses in the Amplified Version says, "If we set bits in a horse's mouth to make them obey us, we can turn their whole bodies about. Likewise, look at the ships. Though they are so great and are driven by rough winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, whithersoever the impulse of the helmsman determines. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it can boast of great things. See how much wood or how great a forest a tiny spark can set ablaze, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is a world of wickedness, set among our members, contaminating and depraving the whole body, setting on fire the wheels of birth, the cycle of man's nature, being itself ignited of hell. Let me tell you in common words what he's saying. He said you could put bits in a horse's mouth, turn his whole body. He said that a great big ship weighing hundreds and thousands of tons is turned to any direction by a very small rudder on the back of it, wherever the captain decides to turn it. He goes on and says the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue so put among our members that it can defile the whole body, and it setteth on fire the course of nature, or, as the Amplified says, the wheels of birth are the cycle of man's nature. That means if you have inherited good health from your parents, if your grandfather was healthy, if good health was generally run in your family, then more than likely you will be healthy. When you buy an insurance policy, you must have a medical examination. The doctor will ask you how healthy your parents or grandparents were, and did they die with this or with that. They can tell a lot about how long you're going to live from the answer those questions. Now, the word says the tongue can stop those natural forces. The tongue can destroy the very course of nature that causes you to be healthy. If you begin to say, I believe I'm coming down with something, you probably will. I believe I'm taking the cold. You'll get it. I've had people come in the prayer line and say, I'm afraid I've got cancer. Well, I don't have any proof, but I just believe I've got it. It says the tongue will set on fire the course of nature. It will destroy the life-giving flow in you that God put in you to heal you and make you whole. Everyone has natural healing power within their bodies. If you cut your finger, you don't have to be concerned about it. It knows how to heal itself. That healing power is in you. If you go to talking sickness and disease and defeat, you have release words that will produce after their kind. You can stop the natural healing power that God put in you by the words of your mouth. Many have stopped divine healing the same way, by negative words. Verse 7 and 8, every kind of beast and bird and serpent and things of the sea is tamed and have been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. Someone said, see there, it's no use trying. The Bible says you can't tame it. No man can tame the tongue. The Amplified says, but the human tongue can be tamed by no man, and it is an undisciplined and irreconcilable, restless evil full of death-bringing poison. And you know you've got that thing in your mouth. He said the tongue no man can tame. It is an unruly evil that's full of deadly poison. It will poison your body. It will poison your spirit. It will poison your life, or it will put you over in life if used correctly. It will build life and health into the spirit, soul, and body. He said no man can tame it, but thank God the Holy Spirit can. Some have said, what good is all that talking in tongues anyway? Then many believe it went out with the apostles. Well, did you see the life of Peter? He was always spouting off at the mouth and saying what he would do. I'll die for you, he said. Well, I guess so. Jesus was standing right there. Yeah. I'll die for you. Later, someone said, I believe that man's one of them, and tried to accuse Peter of being a follower of Jesus. They accused him of being a Christian, but they couldn't find enough evidence to convict him. No, Peter said, I don't know the man. Those words came right out of his mouth. He didn't have control of his tongue. It was dominated by fear. After the day of Pentecost. But after the day of Pentecost, when Peter was baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke with tongues, the power of God came into him. Then Peter stood up and talked 3 minutes, and 3,000 souls were saved. There was power in his words. Then he walked out of the upper room, and the first cripple man that he came to, he said, and I'll paraphrase it, I don't have any money. My wife keeps the money, but what I have got, I'm giving to you in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. In Acts 3:6, you find this. That old boy's eyes got big, and he said, nobody ever talked to me like that. Everybody always said, oh, bless your heart, it'll be worth it all someday. You're just suffering for the Lord. God's trying to teach you something. And when Peter says, such as I have, I give you, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. He said, I don't know what it is, but I want it, praise God. Peter took him by the hand, and up he came. Peter learned to control his tongue. I don't ever see where Peter got in any trouble, any more trouble, by his rash talking after the day of Pentecost. That ought to tell us something. The power of God started operating in Peter's life after he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost tamed his tongue. He will tame yours if you will let him. If you take heed to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit works on man from the inside. Then from what James said, you see, what you say can cause sickness and disease, or it can stop it. You can drive sickness and disease out of your body with the words of your mouth. Someone said, now that sounds like positive thinking or Christian Science. No, it's not Christian Science. I don't deny the existence of disease. I deny the right of that disease to exist in this body, because I'm the body of Christ. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12:27. Sickness, a curse. The word says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Galatians 3:13-14. All sickness and disease is under the curse. Also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of the law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. We read in Deuteronomy 28:61. But praise God, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. I can't say where Jesus was ever sick until it became a curse for us on the cross. He was the body of Christ while he was here on earth. But now, you are a member of the body of Christ. Therefore, when sickness and disease tries to fasten itself upon your body, you should make this confession. I am the body of Christ. I am redeemed from the curse. And I forbid any sickness or disease to operate in this body. Every organ, every tissue of this body functions in the perfection to which God created it to function. Every organ, every tissue will function properly. For greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That is Christian sense. Chapter 4. Establishing the Word of God. I've heard some folks say, pray for me, I'm taking the flu. They've got it turned right. They are taking it. Satan offered it to them. He said, you've got a runny nose and a neck ache. Now let's see what you're going to say about it. Then most people will side in with the devil and begin to say the very thing he said. I am taking a cold. The word says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses let every word be established. You may have a runny nose. You may have aches all over. That is how you feel. But what are you going to say about it? God's word is forever settled in heaven. It's already established there. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The first thing most people do is to go tell their wife or husband, I believe I'm taking the flu. You have released faith in sickness. You have established the words of the enemy. And Jesus said, you can have what you say. The word, in essence, said the tongue will cause the healing power to stop. It will set on fire the wheels of lineage, or that which you have inherited. What you have inherited is natural healing power in your body. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about divine healing at this point, but the natural healing ability of the human body. Then all things being level, all things being right, and without Satan involved, any sickness that comes upon your body will cast it off and heal itself. That healing ability is in your body. But Satan has come on the scene, and he distorted these things, and he has found out that his ability is limited to what he can get you to say. Jesus said you can have what you say. Not many Christians know that. But Satan knows that, and he believes it. Just think back to the last time you had a cold or was sick. What was the first thing you wanted to do after you noticed the symptoms? You wanted to go tell somebody, I'm sick, and you probably did. Then you began to get worse immediately, if not sooner. Being unaware, you activated a spiritual law that gave the authority you had to dominate your physical body over to the enemy. You established the words of the enemy instead of God's word. You have openly proclaimed, I am sick. But I beg your pardon. The word says you're healed. Who his own self by our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. Not going to be, were healed, it says. Jesus already did it 2,000 years ago. He's not going to do any more to heal you. You lay hold on what he said and deny that sickness the right to exist in your body. Lay hold upon it by faith. Confess the word of God over it by saying, I may hurt, but in the name of Jesus, I'm not sick. Somebody said, that sounds like a nut. Well, it may be, but I'd rather be a well nut than a sick one. It works. It works because God said it would. God tells you in his word, you can have what you say. Most people are having what they say, but they say the wrong things. Now, a lady stood up in church and said, pray for me, I'm taking the flu. Your praying wouldn't do her any good. You're wasting your time praying for her. She believes the wrong thing. By the words of her mouth, she has released faith in the ability of the enemy to make her sick. She has no scriptural basis for that belief. She has been motivated by her physical feeling. The just shall live by faith and not by sight. We should learn to believe more in what God's word says rather than our feelings. Feelings change from day to day. The word of God never changes. It always stays the same regardless of how you feel. How you feel has nothing to do with God performing his word. I've seen people ask the pastor to come over and pray for me. The pastor would go over and I would go with him. And we'd pray for them and say, do you believe you are healed? And they would say, well, I hope so. Well, they aren't. No need fooling yourself. There's no faith in that. Hoping won't get it. Hope has no substance. The Bible said, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Somebody said, yeah, but I still hurt after they got through praying. Their faith was based totally on feelings, not on the word. It didn't say the prayer of faith will heal the sick if they don't hurt after prayer. It says the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. We should say, thank God, they prayed. I believe they prayed in faith, and I know I believe God. Therefore, I'm getting up in the name of Jesus. We have pampered these things. Now, I'm not fighting doctors. Don't misunderstand me. If you haven't learned to operate in this, go on to your doctor. He's your very best friend. Doctors are fighting the same evil with medical means. There's nothing wrong with going to your doctor. But learn to operate in the ability of God. Release the ability of God in you by the faith-filled words of your mouth. James said, you can do it. He said, if you can control the tongue, you would have no trouble with the body. He said, the tongue is to the physical body the ruling factor, as the bits are to a horse. They are both in the mouth. They also have control of the physical body. He said if you would control the tongue, you would not have any trouble with the body. The body will obey words. The body has to be trained to act upon the word of God. Your body obeys the command of your mind. You start saying this, I don't desire to eat so much that I become overweight, because this body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, I do not desire to eat more than this body needs. And in the name of Jesus, I refuse to overeat. Start confessing that into your diet program. When you start using words to put you over instead of allowing them to hold you in bondage, they'll work for you. Your words will work for you. Now, it won't work because you said it once. I didn't say that. I said, start confessing it. Start confessing the things you desire, not the problem that exists. Somebody said, how long do I have to confess it until you get the desired results? You see, he said, control the words of your mouth. You have been confessing this. Oh, I know I have enough, but I sure do want a piece of pie. I just love pie. I can't do without sweets. I guess I'll get big as a barn. I have actually heard people say that. You said it with your mouth. I want a piece of pie. Your body starts desiring it right then. You start desires with words. Your body may have been trained in this manner. Mortify those desires by saying, no, in the name of Jesus, I don't desire any more food than I need. Somebody said, well, that would be lying. No, that's the spirit man talking. He is programmed with the word of God. The spirit man says, I don't desire anything that would be harmful to the body. I know that if I overeat, it will be harmful to the body. Therefore, I'm speaking out of the spirit man saying, I don't desire any more in the name of Jesus. Now, you've set a law in motion. You have done something to your body. You said to your body, now just settle down, and you conform to the word of God in the name of Jesus. Yes, talk to it. Now, I would advise you to do this quietly when in public, because people will give you a lot of room if they hear you. Jesus always spoke to the problem. He spoke the desired results, the end results. We would be wise to follow his example. I want you to see what Jesus had to say concerning this subject. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Found in Matthew 12:33-34. Now Jesus told us a profound truth. What you speak out of your mouth is because it is abundantly in your heart. The symptoms came, and the devil said, I wonder what you've got. And you said, I don't know. I wonder what I've got. He got out his little flip chart and said, do you believe you've got the flu? No. You say, I don't believe I have the flu. Well, do you believe you have a bad sore throat? Well, yeah, my throat does feel kind of raw. You must make a decision. Will you be motivated by what you feel, see, hear? Or by the word. The word says, Jesus bore your sickness. Matthew 8:17. Isaiah 53:5 says, with his stripes you are healed. You begin to rationalize. I sure don't feel healed. I really don't look like I'm healed because my throat looks red. I really don't sound healed. My voice is getting raspy. The physical has won over the word of God. Honey, I'm sick. Your voice penetrates every fiber of your being, even to your heart or spirit. Your tongue, the high authority, the controlling factor of the body and spirit, has declared it to be so, and all resistance to that virus ceases. You are indeed sick. You may say, yeah, but I was feeling bad before I ever said that. Yes, the symptoms came. But the enemy can't put anything on you without your consent. Now, he can cause you to feel like it's coming on. See, you go back to feelings there. That's why it's dangerous to live by your five physical senses. What you feel, see, hear, taste, and touch. Program yourself by the Word of God. Learn to program yourself by the Word. When you feel bad, say, now what does the Word say about that? Well, praise the Lord, the Word says, by His stripes I'm healed. Therefore, I won't receive your sickness, Satan. I just pass it up, thank you. If someone came to your door and offered you a sack of rattlesnakes, would you just back off and say, well, I guess it's the Lord's will, just dump them right here in the living room. Oh, dear God, what am I going to do with all these snakes? Snakes in the pantry, snakes in the bathroom, snakes everywhere. Well, I guess this is my cross to bear. Well, dummy, you could have stopped it at the door. Be smart enough to shut the door. Say, no, thank you. I don't want any. Don't get up and testify to the whole church. I'm taking the flu. One night I heard a lady just announce to the whole church, I'm taking the flu, and most of the people in the congregation said, you know, she does look bad. You know, I did notice her eyes watering. Yeah, she's taking the flu, that's what it is. Now she has 100 people agreeing she has the flu. And Jesus said, if 2 of you agree on earth, Matthew 18:19. Wouldn't it be much simpler to stand up and say, well, the enemy's been trying to put the symptoms of the flu on me and cause me to believe it, but I stand before you tonight, and you are my witnesses before the angels, before God, before heaven, that I am not sick. I am not having the flu. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. That settles it, thank you. The Word says I'm healed, and that's good enough for me. There would be folks with goggle eyes saying, I wonder what's wrong with her. But when the woman stood up and said, I'm taking the flu, nobody snickered. They just said, oh, poor thing. Yes, she's taking the flu. Can you see how dumb we've been when it comes to these things? Now, I didn't always see this. Don't think I'm saying I know all the answers. I don't have them all yet. But thank God I'm getting them from the Word of God. Remember, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, in Matthew 12:34. That sickness and disease got in your spirit before it came out your mouth. It was received into your spirit first. Then, as you believed, you spoke. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. 2 Corinthians 4:13. James said, it'll set on fire the course of nature. It will stop the ability of God, divine healing, in other words, from being released within you. It will put you in bondage unless you learn to control the words of your mouth. Thou art snared by the words of thy mouth, thou art taken by the words of thy mouth. Proverbs 6:2. A message of deliverance. God gave you a message of deliverance. He said you can have what you say if you believe in your heart and doubt not. And he said out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. That ought to tell us something. In Matthew, the 15th chapter, starting with verse 11, they were complaining to Jesus about his disciples eating without washing their hands. Now, wasn't that a big deal? He said, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Let's look at verse 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth cometh forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Jesus is saying, what you speak out of your mouth is in your heart. And when it comes out, it is set in motion. It has established your witness on the earth. The Word says, in the mouth of 2-3 witnesses, let every word be established. 2 Corinthians 13:1. The Word says you are healed. The devil says you are sick. You got up and said, I'm sick. You just established it by the words of your mouth. You agreed with the enemy. You could have just as well said, no, just pass me up, thank you. I won't receive it. He said, the words of your mouth will defile you. James said, the tongue can defile the whole body. Create a different world that you live in. Creative power was in God's mouth. It is in your mouth also. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to go out and create a world, but you can create a different world that you live in by the words of your mouth, by speaking faith-filled words instead of speaking words of fear. Fear is the reverse gear of faith. Fear is produced by believing wrong things. Fear is faith in the enemy's ability. Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. Where do the good things of life come from? Jesus said they come out of your heart. He didn't say they came from staying up late hours, working your finger to the bones. He said the good things of life come out of your heart. Whatever you store there, the information you program your spirit with will produce for you. It always produces after its kind. Faith produces faith. Fear Four words produce fear in abundance. When I talk about the spirit, I'm talking about the heart. The heart and the spirit are the same. The way you program your spirit with the word of God is by saying the thing God said about you in his word. Imitate God. Say the same thing he said. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. One of the chronic problems in the church world today is failing to recognize the authority of the word. At the first symptoms of sickness, you hear them say, "I am sick." James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." To be submitted to God is to be submitted to his word. You be submitted to God. You be submitted to his word. Jesus resisted Satan with the spoken word. In Matthew 4th chapter, verse 4, 7, and 10 said, "But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Verse 10, "Then Jesus said unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He spoke to Satan, and he left." He bare our sickness and sin. Let's read 1 Peter 2:24, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." The word says ye were healed. Sickness is a curse of the law, and Galatians 3:13 says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Matthew 8:17 says, "That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Are your sicknesses. Learn to read the scripture with a personal identification. Isaiah 53:5 says, "With his stripes we are healed, with his stripes you are healed." Someone said, "Yes, but you don't understand. I don't feel healed, and I really don't look healed." That person has been programmed by the world system, the five senses. The word is not in them. They may know about the word, they may even believe the word is true, but until it becomes a part of them, it is not in them. Yes, I do understand. You're motivated by your feelings and not by the word of God. It is very simple to resist the devil once you have been programmed by the word of God. God and his word are one. They agree. Learn to rise to the level of God's word by quoting what God said. Then you can boldly say, "According to the word of God, I am not sick. Jesus took my sickness. He bore it for me. Therefore, I receive my healing through the word." Just as sure as Jesus bore your sins, he also bore your sickness. You have no more right to allow sickness to operate in your body than you do sin. Develop your faith. If you have not developed your faith in the Word to the level where you can receive your healing through the Word, then use medical science healing. But don't allow sickness and disease to lord it over you. Use whatever means you must to get rid of it, but don't let it dominate you. If you have to take pills to get your healing, then every time you take one, say, "I take this pill in the name of Jesus." You'll find the name of Jesus will make your pills work twice as good. Don't let Satan condemn you over taking medicine. God wants you well. If your faith is not developed to that point, for God's sake, don't suffer 39 years and say, "I trusted the Lord." No, if you suffered 39 years, you missed it somewhere. That's not God's will for you. Get you some medical help, get back on your feet, then get in the Word of God and find out where you missed it. Learn to control circumstances instead of allowing them to control you. A few years ago, a man said to me, "I wouldn't ask you to pray for me. I'm taking medicine." You can see how Satan has conned many good Christians into believing that if they're taking medicine, they wouldn't dare use prayer. He realizes he can't keep you from using both, so he sets out to convince you that prayer and medicine are opposite to each other. The truth is, both prayer and medicine are fighting the same evil, sickness and disease. Of course, God's best for you is for you to develop your faith to the point that you receive healing through prayer and the Word of God, but not everyone's faith is developed to that level. That is one of the reasons God gave men medical knowledge. He wants people well, even though they don't know how to operate in the Word. God wants you well. Say this right now. God wants me well. Scripture reference, 3 John 2. Say it again. God wants me well. Confess God's Word to your body daily. Yes, talk to it. Sometimes your body wants to be sick. Don't let it. Jesus said you can have what you say. So take time to fill your heart or spirit with God's Word. God's Word produces faith. I've had people to come in the prayer line and say, pray for me that I will have more faith. The real problem is a lack of the Word in their heart. You see, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It is unscriptural to pray for you to have more faith. God's Word is filled with faith. Where His Word is, your faith is there. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. John 15:7. When the Word is absent, faith is absent. When you come under the pressures of life, that which is abundantly in your heart is going to come out, whether it is the Word of God or Satan's. Satan's words produce fear and unbelief in your heart. God's words produce faith in your heart. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Matthew 12:34. That which is formed by the tongue and spoken out of the mouth, those words will either create good or evil. They have creative power. For a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. Matthew 12:35. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. Matthew 15:18-20. Words conceived in your heart will be formed by your tongue, and by speaking them out of your mouth, you will either release the ability of Satan or the ability of God within you. Those words will create good or evil, curse or blessing. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing, James said, James 3:10. There is creative power within you. Learn to use it wisely. The Spirit of God spoke to me one morning, and He said, you don't have to worry about establishing my word in heaven. It's already established there. What you need to do is to establish it on the earth. Establish my word on earth. Get it established down there, and you won't have any problem. He said the problem is that you've been establishing the devil's word. You've been saying what the enemy said. Establish God's word here on earth. Chapter 5. My personal fight of faith. Several years ago, I invested quite a large sum of money in a joint business venture. I had put out a fleece before the Lord about this business deal. Well, all the fleeces turned out just the way I asked, but I really got fleeced. You see, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Paul said Satan is the God of this physical world, and he knew the fleece I had put out. Now I found a better way to find the will of God, and it's found in John 16:13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truths, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come.
I had sold a small farm and invested the money in this business. I lost nearly all the original investment plus $25,000 more. Through the confusion the enemy caused, I lost faith and turned negative on life. I thought God had done this to me. That was what Satan had put in my mind. After several months, I realized the negative thoughts in my mind did not agree with the Word of God. Then the enemy tried to convince me that I had failed God, and that was the reason that I lost the money, and God was mad at me. I know this story sounds familiar to many because it is one of Satan's favorite lies that he uses to bring condemnation and confusion to God's people. My confessions ruled. In that confused state of mind, I turned negative. I began to say, it doesn't matter what I do, it won't work anyway. I was still farming about 800 acres of land at that time, so I turned my attention to the farming operation. I knew that was one thing I could do well because I had always been successful in it. But after I had turned negative, I would plant cotton and say, well, it doesn't make any difference how deep I plant it. It probably rained 3 inches and won't come up anyway. It did rain and the cotton didn't come up. I planted again, this time shallow, about a half inch deep, and told almost everyone I saw, now it'll turn off dry and won't rain for 3 weeks, and it did just what I said. The third time I planted that year, I made more negative statements. The more problems showed up, the more negative I became. This is Satan's cycle. The third planting produced about 2/3 of a stand of cotton. I can now still hear my words. Now it will probably come an early freeze and kill it before it opens. And it did. For 2 whole years, I confessed the same thing, got just what I said. I farmed that 800 acres those 2 years and didn't make enough money to buy my driver's license. The farming practice that once worked for me didn't work. The same ground that once produced bountifully now refused to respond. I was still giving. I still believe Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. But it was not working for me. I prayed, I repented, I begged God to prosper me, but nothing worked. I was still negative. My confession destroyed my prayer. I saw failure everywhere I looked. I believed in it and confessed it daily. I was a failure. I was at the end of the rope, so to speak, financially. I had just borrowed $100,000 to pay my back bills. I was so poor that I couldn't pay attention. And that's the truth. I would go to church, but I couldn't get anything out of the service because I was worrying about my finances. Then a Baptist man came to my house one day. He had some books with him. I remember thumbing through one of the books and reading a few paragraphs here and there. The title of the book was Right and Wrong Thinking by Kenneth Hagin. It was different from any book that I had ever read. Every paragraph said something, and it was straight to the point. I remember to this day one of the first statements I read. People that think wrong believe wrong. When they believe wrong, they act wrong.
The Tongue, a Creative Force by Charles Capps, tape number 2. It went off inside me like a bombshell. It just seemed like someone turned a light on inside me. The entrance of the Word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. Psalms 119, 130. I knew instantly that this was truth. I ordered that book and another one on confession. I began to dig into the Word of God to see where I was missing it. I had never heard anyone preach on Mark 11:23 and 24. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. I'm sure I had read it, but it meant nothing to me. It was not in me. I had no idea you could have what you said. But as I began to prayerfully study what Jesus said about words, the mouth, and prayer, God began to reveal these things to me. I remember one morning I was praying, and I said, "Father, I've prayed, and it's not working out." He spoke inside my spirit just as plain and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm praying." And he said, "No, you're not. You're complaining." Then he said, "Who told you that it was not working out?" Now, that shook me. I thought for a minute, and then I said, "Well, I guess the devil said that." Then he spoke into my spirit something that totally transformed my life. He said, "I would appreciate it if you'd quit telling me what the devil said. Now, you have been praying for me to prosper you and get the devil off you. I'm not the one that is causing your problem. You are under the attack of the evil one, and I can't do anything about it. You have bound me by the words of your own mouth, and it is not going to get any better until you change your confession and begin to agree with the Word of God. You're operating in fear and unbelief. You have established the words of the evil one in your behalf. By your own mouth, you have released the ability of the enemy, and if I did anything about it, I would have to violate my word, and I can't do that." You see, I had just gotten enough of his word in me to where he could talk to me intelligently about the problem. Until then, he had no basis on which to talk to me, for I had cast out his word and quoted the enemy. Over a period of the next few months, he spoke many things into my spirit that totally upended my way of thinking, some of which I will share in a later book. He said, "I am for you. I want you to prosper, but I want you to do it in a way that will work an eternal value in you. By using your faith and acting on the Word of God, the power of binding and loosing is not in heaven. It is on earth, and if you don't do it, it won't be done." Then he told me this, "Study and search my word for promises that pertain to you as a believer. Make a list of these and confess them aloud daily. They will build into your spirit over a period of time. Then when these truths are established in your spirit, they will become true in you." Secrets of faith. This is the secret of faith, continually saying what God said. So, for 2.5 years, I studied the Word of God and made my confession list. Many people want to know why it won't work for them when they have not meditated the Word of God and would not dare say anything contrary to their own sense knowledge. They would not dare say, "My God supplied all my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus," when the rent is due and they don't have the money. Sense knowledge would say that would be telling a lie. But how can you tell a lie when you say the truth? God's word is truth. "And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Philippians 4:19. The Lord spoke to me about going on a word fast for 2 weeks. I didn't read anything but the Word of God or something pertaining to the Word. I didn't watch any television, not even a news program, for 2 weeks. I was so excited about the Word of God at the end of those 2 weeks that I haven't really cared about really reading a newspaper or watching TV since. I began a process of training my spirit with the Word of God. One day as I was confessing, "The devil flees from me because I resist him in the name of Jesus," I suddenly realized that the anointing of God was rising up in me. My spirit had received it, and now it was being manifest in me. In an instant of time, I knew the devil was fleeing from me, and my words took on authority. God's words are filled with faith, and that's how faith comes. It didn't come by watching the doctor's program or Gunsmoke. It came by the Word of God. Understand now that this process of training the human spirit does not work overnight. I didn't say it one day and be full of faith the next. It was a process of weeding out religious tradition from the Word, training the human spirit. Tradition says, if you feel sick, you are not healed. But I chose the Word. Tradition says, if you pray and it looks worse, keep bombarding the gates of heaven. But the Word said, when you pray, believe you receive, and you shall have. So I would go to the Word of God to see what the Word said about it. Then I would pray what the Word said. My God supplieth all my need according to His riches. Prayer became a challenging experience of forgetting circumstances. It was exciting to confess, I have abundance and there is no lack, when the lack was very apparent. The Lord is my shepherd, and I do not want, when want was all around. No weapon formed against me will prosper, when it looked like everything that came along was working against me and prospering very well. One morning as I was confessing the Word, I stopped and said, Lord, you know that I don't believe all this that I'm saying is true in me. It was that tradition coming through that made me feel like I was lying. I knew the Bible was true and that it was in the Bible. The Lord said, that's all right, son. Just keep saying the words that I have said until it becomes a part of you, then it will be true in you. So I kept confessing, I have abundance and no lack. My God supplieth all my need, until it was formed in my spirit and became a part of me. Then I realized I had broken into a realm of faith that I never knew existed. A new realm of faith. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. John 15:7. I could now make those statements with full assurance that God would honor His Word. It was a strange feeling on the inside of me. In my spirit, I knew I had abundance, yet I could plainly see with the natural eye it was not manifest. I had prayed and asked the Father for some more land. I said, I don't know where there is any land available, but I know that you do. And I ask you in the name of Jesus to cause it to come to me. I see in your word where you said the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who are heirs of salvation. Therefore, I say that ministering spirits will begin to work and cause the land to come to me in Jesus' name. I was excited about positive prayer, and I never prayed about that again. I began to praise God for the answer. About 2 weeks had passed, and I had really not even thought about it. I had considered it was done when I prayed. That morning the phone rang. When I answered, the party told me who she was and said, we're going to sell our farm. Do you want to buy it? It caught me by surprise, but I knew many people had tried to buy small plots from them to no avail. I know I stuttered, but finally said, yes, I would. I made an appointment to meet with them that night, and as I hung up the phone, my wife said, now, what are you going to do? And I said, I am going to buy the farm. She kind of laughed and said, what are you going to use for money? The next sentence came right out of my spirit. Money is no problem. I just stood there, almost goggle-eyed at what I had said. It had come out of my spirit because my head knew that I didn't have any money. But my spirit was programmed to abundance. My daughter, Annette, was standing there, and we all three joined hands, agreed, and said with our mouths, the farm is ours in the name of Jesus. The days that followed proved to be very trying to that faith statement, but we would not negate that statement. Oh, I wanted to, sometimes very badly, but I would shut my mouth and not say it. This is where the fight of faith is lost so many times, just 1 inch below the nose, the mouth. In one of those trying hours, I was driving home from all outward circumstances. It looked as though the farm was going to another person. I was praying in the Spirit in tongues, and the Spirit of God spoke up on the inside of me and said, go speak to the mountain. I knew who the mountain was, another man bidding on the farm. I didn't know what to say, but I confessed, the Spirit of truth abideth in me, and He teaches me all things, and He guides me into all truths, and I have the mind of Christ. I talked to the man, and he said, I don't really need the farm. If you want it, I'll withdraw my bid. Well, he withdrew his bid, and the mountain was moved. They sold me the farm. Satan came to steal the word. I had made arrangements for the finances, but when I started to close the deal, the lending agency said they had made a mistake and could not loan the money. This was the enemy's way of saying, will you accept defeat? Again, it looked as if all was lost. I didn't have any money to pay down on the farm. I was operating on borrowed money, as I sat there hearing the words that a few years before would have caused me to say, well, I knew it was too good to be true. Nothing ever works out for me. But the Holy Spirit spoke up on the inside and said, go across the street to the bank. Now that sounded silly to my head because I had never done any banking at that bank. It was not in my hometown. However, I did know the president of the bank. So I walked across the street, and as I walked in the door, the president of the bank said, hi, said, what can we do for you? I was direct to the point. I said, I need to borrow X number of dollars, and it was a figure greater than I had ever borrowed at one time. He said, well, bring the papers. I heard about that farm you bought. We'll loan you the whole amount if you want it. It seemed as though I could hear my words still hanging in the air. Money is no problem. I will buy the farm. Spoken nearly a month before, but they had become creative power formed out of the image of the Word of God. From Psalms 1, verse 3, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And Philippians 4:19, my God supplieth all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Psalms 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. The words that I had spoken were images formed in me by constantly saying what God had said about me. By the time the abstracts were brought up to date for the final closure, I had sold 40 acres to the school district to build a new school on. It worked out to where at the final closing of the transaction, I had several thousand dollars equity in the farm and had not put one cent into it. It was not what I had done. It was God honoring faith-filled words. Faith-filled words create. Now we come to the real reason I shared this story in this book. At the final signing of the papers, they told me that they never intended to sell the farm. Some of the heirs wanted their money, so one of the family said, find out what it's worth, and I'll buy it and keep it in the family. The farm had been in the family for nearly 100 years. They put it on the market only to find out how much it was worth. They had no idea the farm was worth as much as I offered. They could take the money to the bank and draw twice as much interest as the farm was paying rent. They said, we'd be foolish not to sell it at that price. It was a good deal for them, and it was a good deal for me, for within 2 years the farm prices almost doubled. The thing that turned me on was when I realized that the farm really was not even for sale until that day that faith rose up in my spirit and caused my tongue to form the image of the Word of God in my heart and on the inside of me. I will buy the farm. The farm is mine. Oh, thank God for the power of His Word to produce faith. A prayer of faith set in motion had brought the opportunity before me, but it had no real substance until I was willing to mix faith-filled words with it. Then, and then only, did it become a reality. Faith was the substance. Sometimes people say, I have tried that and it didn't work for me. Why did it work for you? The Word of God is the reason. I chose to believe what the Word said about me. Now, it wasn't because I was smart. A year before, I would have blown the whole deal by the words of my mouth. It wasn't because of my ability. It was simply because I programmed my heart with the Word and acted like it was true. Jesus said, the good things of God come out of your heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues, are the forces of life. Proverbs 4:23. In Matthew 12:35, Jesus said, an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. If you want to know what evil things he's talking about, the 13th chapter of Numbers tells us what God called an evil report. The spies were sent to spy out the land, and 10 of them came back and gave an evil report. They told what they saw, what they heard, and what they felt. Now, what was so evil about that? The fact that what they heard, saw, and felt was exactly contrary to what God had said. God said, I have given you the land. They were to go over there and plan their strategy plan how they would take it. They were not to go over there to see if they could take it. They were to go there and decide how they were going to take it. They came back and said, "Whoo," said, "there's giants over there. We were grasshoppers in their sight." Well, thank God, if faith will move a mountain, it'll whittle a giant down to size. God said the thing they saw, the thing they heard, the things they felt were an evil report. We have all done it. We have been going to God and giving Him an evil report. We have said in our prayer, "It didn't work, Lord. It's getting worse. I prayed and it didn't work out." What makes you think it didn't work out? We will say, "Well, you see, it looks worse and I feel like things are getting worse." That's an evil report. You are not to be moved by what you see or feel, but moved by what the Word says. Say only what the Word says. The Word says it will work out. Stand on that. The Bible says, "And having done all to stand, stand therefore." Ephesians 6, 13 and 14. And it didn't say turn and run. It didn't say give up and say, "Dear Lord, it's not working." It says, when you've done all to stand, stand. Just stand there. You mean don't do anything? Yeah, that's what I mean. Just stand there. Somebody said, "What'll I do? I prayed and it's just not working." Well, the first thing to do is to shut your mouth. Second, stand there. If you can't say something good, don't say anything. It'll work out if you believe God. Chapter 6. A lot of times we have gotten off faith and cast out God's word, started believing what the devil said. You release the ability of Satan when you start saying what he said. Fear activates the devil. Faith brings God on the scene. Before you ever make a confession that comes into your head, ask yourself, who said that? What is its source? If it doesn't agree with the Word of God, you know who said that. The devil said it. Don't you quote it. If you do, that's his deception. Did you know the devil doesn't have any power over the believer? The only ability Satan can exercise over you is the ability to deceive you. If he can get you to believe his lies, he's got you playing right into his hand. And if you go quoting what he said, brother, he can put it over you stiff and strong. And all your praying won't help you any. You can see that you've moved God out of it. You have said, "Lord, it's getting worse. It's not getting any better." You have stopped God's ability immediately. Maybe it was just about to come into manifestation. But now you have established Satan's word in the earth. That is not getting any better. It's getting worse. You have established his word. God's word says in Psalms 119:89, "Thy word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven." God's word is already settled in heaven. The word says, "I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Matthew 16:19. He didn't say keys to the kingdom. He says keys of the kingdom. "Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." The Spirit of God spoke to me one morning, and he said, "The problem with the church today is that most of them are binding their finances. They're binding their spiritual growth by saying, 'The devil's hindering me. The devil just won't let me do what I want to do.'" Well, don't ask him. Don't ask the devil about it. Go ahead and do it. You see, sometimes we've kind of buddied up with him and communicated with him, and he told us, "Oh, you can't do that." Then we speak it out of our own mouth. "The devil's been hindering me all week. I just can't get anything done." I've heard them say, "He's so smart, he just puts one over on you before you know it, and he'll just come in and foul things up before you even know it." Well, you have released the ability of Satan to come in and to put it over on you. You have said with your mouth, "He comes up behind me, and when I don't know it, he just fouls the works up." Now, if God came in and stopped that, he would have to violate his word. Because he said, "You have what you say." And you said, "Satan's smarter than I am." And he comes in, and you have indicated that Satan's smarter than God. And he's more powerful than God. You don't
have any scripture for that. Faith is the victory. You do have plenty of scripture that says God is more powerful than the devil, and that he will put you over every time you act on the word. World-overcoming faith dwelleth on the inside of you. John 5:4, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So you have a lot of scripture to back you up in that, but you don't have any to back you up that Satan's smarter than God or smarter than you. When you are in Christ, you have access to the mind of Christ. Satan is not all that smart. Can you imagine a fellow fighting when he's already whipped? Now, that's pretty stupid. If you don't believe we've already won, go ahead and read the back of the book. 1 John 4:4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. By what? By the blood of Jesus and the word of their testimony. The word of their mouth. Did you notice that word overcame? The back of the book says, you won. Praise God. Establish that. Quit agreeing with the devil. Quit prolonging the agony. Get in this thing and agree with what God said. You have already won. It's not your fight. Jesus fought it for you, and thank God he won. You can see that. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Praise the name of the Lord. Authority of words. Let's go back to the 12th chapter of Matthew and look at verse 36. Jesus is speaking now. Nobody spoke with more authority than Jesus, thank God. When Jesus spoke, he meant it. He meant what he said, and he said what he meant. He never talked any foolishness. He said, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. That word idle means non-effective, non-working word. He said that every word you speak that is not working for you will have to be given account for by you in the day of judgment. Now, when I saw that, I said, I'm going to start watching my words. I had been saying plenty of those idle words, and they were not working for me. They were working against me. He said, if they are not working for you, you will give account for them. Somebody said, well, now, how's that going to be? Well, some folks are going to come to the judgment seat of Christ, and there they are about to get their reward, and the Lord is going to say, now look, here's what you could have had. Woo, praise the Lord, they will say. But here's what you get. Ugh. Have you ever wondered where those tears are going to come from that he said he would wipe away? You saw what you could have had, then you saw what you are getting. You are going to say, oh, but Lord, I couldn't have done that. He will say, see, if you had given to this missionary, souls would have been saved. Oh, but Lord, I didn't have the money. I didn't have it to give. He will say, that's the same problem you were having on earth. You were agreeing with the devil. It's true, you didn't have the money in your possession. Then he will show you someone else and say, here's a man who didn't have the money either. But he said, my God supplieth all my need according to his riches in glory. Therefore I confess I have abundance. There is no lack, and I have all sufficiency of all things. The word says, I do. So I thank you, Father, for it. Therefore I give it in faith. And Father, you will cause it to come to me in the name of Jesus. He got what he said, and here's his reward. He used his words wisely. He will say, if you would have said what I said, if you would have agreed with what I said, you could have had the better reward, but you said what the devil said. You didn't lose your soul, but you lost your reward. Justified or condemned by your words. You can see that words work for or against you. He said you're going to be justified or condemned by the words of your mouth. Matthew 12:37 says, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Actually, he's not talking about condemning you to hell. He's talking about things you can have in this life on earth and rewards of heaven. We need to watch what we say, to set a watch on our mouth. This is 3rd chapter of Romans, verse 3 and 4. The word says, For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, and every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. In other words, he said, that if somebody comes up with that old unbelief dripping off of them like molasses off of a syrup bucket, saying, oh, I don't believe it's going to work this time, he said, let God be true and that man a liar, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and might overcome when thou art judged. When you get to heaven, you're going to be judged on who you believe, God or man. Man says, I'm getting worse, or it's getting worse. You can't do that. And I tell you, it's not just the world that's saying that. There are some Christians that I think sometimes they have been sprinkled with fear, rolled in doubt, stuffed with unbelief, and insulated to the Word of God. They will believe everything but the Word of God. Some will swallow the enemy's biggest lie, but won't believe God's simplest truth. They will say, oh, yes, brother, I know that's in the Bible, but you don't understand. Yes, I do understand. The Word says it works, and they are saying it won't. You just don't understand. I still hurt, but the Word says you're healed. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I do not deny that pain exists, nor do I deny the existence of disease, but I do deny its right to continue in my body. Feelings change. The Word does not change. If you do not feel healed, go to the Word of God, get you some feelings. The Word of God in your spirit will change your physical feelings. The Word brings health. Proverbs 4:20 and 22 says, the Word is health, a medicine to all our flesh. The Word will bring health to the physical body. The question is, if some didn't believe what you said concerning healing for your body or financial needs met, would that unbelief stop the God kind of faith, the faith that speaks, from working? God forbid that ever from happening. Let men be liars, but allow God's Word to be proven true. Notice he said, for you to allow the Word to become truly manifest. Thank God, that thou mightest be justified in thy sake. Confession of the Word. In Matthew 10:32 it says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Now what did he say? He said, those who will confess me before men, I'll confess before the Father which is in heaven. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus and the Word are the same. You cannot separate them. He implies that if you are confessing Jesus, you are confessing the Word. He is the living Word of God. He said, if you confess my Word before men, I'll confess you before the Father. In the Greek, it could have read this way, that I will give you an audience before the Father. Praise God. In 1 John 5:15, Jesus said, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. In other words, if you get an audience with the Father, you will get your prayer answered. And Jesus said, if you confess me before men, confess my Word, in other words, before men, he said, that will get you an audience with the Father. Sometimes we have confessed, I don't know what to do. That won't work. I don't believe that's going to work out. Then we have prayed about it, believing in unbelief, and you didn't get an audience with the Father. Did you know you can believe in unbelief? Some people actually have faith in unbelief. That is what you're doing when you say, I can't do what the Word says I can do. Here's an example. The Word says, he that is born of God overcometh the world. You have overcome because the greater one is in you. Now, if you deny that, you are in unbelief and have released faith in a negative statement, but I can't, I am not able. Jesus said, whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 10:33. He said, I'll deny you. Jesus is the go-between. You can see that. He is making intercession for us. He is the high priest of our profession or confession, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1:3. That means that Jesus confesses to the Father what we say, as long as it agrees with the Word of God. In other words, he said, if you confess my word before men, I'll confess what you say before the Father. You will get an audience before the Father. He said, what you pray that agrees with the word, I'll see to it that it gets to the Father. You will have an audience with him. Then you will get your prayer answered. But if you don't do it, I'll deny you before the Father. It won't be transferred or transmitted to him. When you start praying and saying, Lord, I prayed, it's not working out. That is a statement of unbelief. You have released faith in that unbelief. Jesus is not going to his Father and say, Father, he's prayed, but it's not working out for him. That's against the Word of God. You can see that. He will deny that statement before the Father. When you pray that way, your prayer never gets to heaven. You can forget it. It's not going to get there. God's word is wisdom. We find in the book of Proverbs that there are some things that we have stumbled over and have not looked upon because they're in the Old Testament. You see, a lot of times people say, well, you know, the Old Testament is just history. But Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived until Jesus, wrote these Proverbs. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings, let them not depart from before thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for their life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 4:20-23. Keep your spirit or your heart with all diligence, for the forces of life come forth from the heart. The word heart refers to the center of man's being, which is his spirit. Now here, the writer of the Proverbs, inspired of the Holy Spirit, is saying the same thing that Jesus said. The good things come out of your heart, or out of your spirit. Verse 24 says, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Are speaking contrary to what the Word says, for the Word is the wisdom of God. God's word is his wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:30. When we speak contrary to his word and say, it's not working out, I prayed, but it's not working out, that's perverse speech that is against the word of God. Watch your language. Thou art snared by the words of thy mouth. Proverbs 6:2. Understand this. Words work. They'll work for you just as they worked for Jesus. They're working for you or against you, whether you realize it or not. Let me show you something before we go any further, how the words that you say are working. I've had people come in the prayer line and say, I'm just so nervous. I don't know why I'm so nervous. I'll guarantee you, if you'd have been in their home, you would have heard most of them say, no less than 10 times that day, those kids make me so nervous, they just drive me up the wall. Jesus said, you can have what you say. We have programmed our vocabulary with the devil's language. We have brought sickness and disease into our vocabulary and even death. The main word so many people use to express themselves is death. The word death. I'm just dying to do that, they'll say. I'm going to die if I don't. That just tickled me to death. Now that, my friend, is perverse speech that is contrary to God's word. Death is of the devil. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. That's found in Hebrews 2:14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. That's Revelations 20:14. We need not buddy up with death. All men are going to die soon enough. So don't start buddying up with it now. Adam was smarter than that. It took the devil over 900 years to kill him. But now the devil has programmed his language into the human race until people can kill themselves in about 70 years or less by speaking his words. when we say that tickled me to death, that is contrary to the Word of God. We need to notice what the Word says about the mouth and the tongue. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, Proverbs 10 and 11. In Proverbs 21 and 24 says, "The lips of a righteous feed many, but the fools die for the want of wisdom. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desires of the righteous shall be granted. The thing you fear will come upon you." Fear will activate Satan. Job activated Satan by his fear. "The thing I greatly feared is come upon me." Job 3:25. Active faith in the Word brings God on the scene. Fear brings Satan on the scene. "The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable." Proverbs 10:31 and 32. Notice the lips of the righteous, they know what is acceptable. What is acceptable in your speech? What God said. In fact, you'll find that when you begin to quote what God said, it's just as though God said it. If you said it in faith, it's coming out of your heart. It's just as if God said it. It will work for you just like it worked for him. If you program your spirit with the Word of God and believe and doubt not in your heart, but believe that those things which you are saying will come to pass, you see there is more to it than just saying it. The Word must originate from the inner man where spiritual power is released through words. Now notice with me in Proverbs 11:11. "By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. The wicked have talked against our nation," and I'll tell you, a lot of Christians have done the same thing. They have said, "Ah, that bunch of idiots up there, they don't know what they're doing." They should have been saying, "Thank God, I believe God to give those men in Washington the wisdom of God to deal wisely with the affairs of our nation." If Christians would do that, it would change the situation in Washington. Some Christians have started doing that. Really, that's already happening to some degree. God has started cleaning out some problem areas in our government. God has been brought on the scene because of faith-filled word. Start saying, "I thank God that the leaders of our nation have the wisdom of God. Pray for them daily. Father, give them the wisdom of God to deal wisely with the affairs of life." "The words of the wicked are to lie and wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver him." Proverbs 12:6. What will deliver them? The mouth of the upright. Deliverance is as close as your mouth. The mouth contains the tongue that controls faith and fear. Words produce after their kind. We need to understand this. When we start speaking what God said, the devil is going to sit up and take notice. God said in Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success." Joshua 1:8. Who's going to do it? We have always thought God was going to do it. God said, "If you do my word, you have done it, and I'll see to it that it's performed." You can see that. I've prayed at times and said, "Father, you make me prosper," but I was not doing the word of God. God said, "You do my word, and it will prosper." He said, "You have made your way prosperous." Choose words of life. "A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth." Proverbs 12:14. The fruit of the mouth, of his mouth, would be what his mouth produced. In other words, by the produce of his mouth, he will be satisfied or disappointed. The words of his mouth should cause him to be satisfied with good. Verse 17 of the same chapter says, "He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness." What is truth? The Word of God is truth, and it showeth forth righteousness. "There is that speaketh like the piercing of the sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." Proverbs 12:18.
Now, you better get this one. this is stout. He said, there are people speaking, and it's just like jabbing a sword in you and cutting you and damaging themselves. They are desiring something from God that they are cutting themselves up spiritually by saying, oh, I'm so unworthy. I can't get my prayers answered. I don't know why the Lord won't heal me. These are people who are believers, using their tongue to destroy their faith, using their God-given ability to hold them in bondage. God gave you the ability to use your tongue to create a better life by speaking words that are full of faith. The choice is yours, whether you will speak them or not. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 9 through 19, and the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thy hand, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law. And if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and with all of thy soul, for this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us to bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, and shall be drawn away, and worship other gods, and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that thou shalt surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth the record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. The tongue of the wise. But the tongue of the wise is health. Praise God, the wise talketh health. They talk life. They talk healing. There is no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Proverbs 12:21. The just knoweth what is acceptable. They speak God's word concerning their deliverance. Psalms 107:2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed out of the hand of the enemy. The redeemed of the Lord speak God's word in the face of apparent defeat. Then in Romans 16:20 says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Proverbs 13:2, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. The word said, it will even change your grocery basket. He shall live good by the fruit of his mouth. Shall is one of the strongest words in the English language. Shall doesn't mean maybe or sometimes. Have you ever said this? Oh, we just can't afford that. I can't make the money last to the end of the month. We can't afford the things we need. Jesus said he came that you might have life and it more abundantly. Some have said, yeah, but you don't understand. I don't have the money. That is beside the point. Jesus said, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that ye might have life and have it more abundantly. In John 10:10. The thief comes to steal your finances, kill your faith, and destroy your health. Jesus came to undo the work of the devil. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. The literal Greek reads, that he might undo the works of the devil. Galatians 3:13-14 tells us, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. We find in Deuteronomy 28, chapter 28 through chapter 30, that the curse of the law is threefold: poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. Poverty was part of the curse that Christ redeemed us from. Now, you may not feel like you're redeemed from poverty. You may not look like you are, but again, that is beside the point. The Word says you are. Be smart enough to agree with God, and don't quote what the devil said. If God said I ought to have abundance, then I'm going to agree with Him. 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I wish," or as the margin reads, "I pray above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Now, whether I ever get it or not, that's up to God, as long as I say what He said and do what He said to do. I'm doing my part, and you can rest assured that God is doing His part. Now, I didn't say go out and write hot checks. I didn't say live above your means. I'm saying speak God's word until it brings your means up to where you desire to live. Now, let's read in the New Testament, starting with James chapter 1 and verse 22 through verse 26. "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like a man that beholdeth his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seemeth to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain." Now, a lot of folks seemeth to be religious. They even have that religious tone of voice. But the Word said, if he doesn't control his tongue, it will destroy all that he said he believed. You can say you believe the Bible, but if you don't control your tongue, it will cause the Word to become ineffective as far as you're concerned. It will be just as though it didn't exist. The devil will come in roughshod and trample you in the dust as long as he controls your words. You need to know what the Word of God says about you. Determine now to know what the New Testament or the New Contract says about you. Start saying what the Word says. If you want to walk in life and health, confess it now. "God will perfect that which concerneth me." You ought to say that over. "God will perfect that which concerneth me." Any man that seemeth to be religious and doesn't bridle his tongue, he deceiveth his own heart, and that man's religion is in vain or empty. Watch your words. Choose words of life and health. Chapter 7. God's Word is Truth. "For what his son did not believe, shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, and every man a liar." Romans 3:3-4. In Proverbs 13:13 says, "Who despiseth the word shall be destroyed because he has rejected the truth." Truth is this stabilizing force of life. The Word of God is truth. Jesus said, "If ye continue in my words, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:31-32. Jesus also said in John 6:63, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life." Jesus spoke spirit words, and they became stabilizing forces of life. Jesus spoke only that which he heard the Father say. He said in John 5:30, "I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me." Jesus spoke God's word continually. He was established in his Father's word. He overcame the world, the flesh, and the devil by the spoken word. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world," Jesus said in John 16:33. In Matthew, the 4th chapter, in the 4th 7th and 10th verses tells us that the only thing that Jesus used against the devil was the spoken word. He spoke the written word. It is written. Oh, thank God. It's still written today. However, in book form, the word hath no power until read or spoken by someone. In Luke's Gospel, the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 46, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me, and heareth my sayings, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like." Now, Jesus is about to tell you how important it is to practice the word, or to be a performer of the word. In verse 48, "He is like unto a man that buildeth a house, and dig deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Notice this man dug deep and started building his foundation upon something that was already established and was unshakable. That is the Word of God. His life was based upon God's Word. Although they beat upon him, the flood, the stream, could not shake him. Circumstances won't shake a man who believes the Word. Psalms 112 and verse 7 tells us, "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings, his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord." However, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 49, Jesus says, "But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Now, what caused this man to be defeated in life? It was not the flood or the stream. Actually, they had nothing to do with it, with the destruction at all. He heard the same word, but his life was not based on the word. He did not do the word of God. He suffered great loss needlessly. Notice it didn't say one was saved and the other was not. The indication is that both came to him and both heard what he said. Today, many are born again and hear the word, but hearing the word is not the foundation spoken of in the above verses. Doing the word of God is the foundation that made this man successful in life. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, Hosea 4:6. God's word is the only true knowledge. I will make you stable, it will make you stable in the storms of life. Speaking God's word will bring God on the scene. Jeremiah 1:12 says, "I watch over my word to perform it," in the Amplified Version. To despise, reject, or even to disagree with the word opens the door to Satan. If you despise the word, you have invited destruction. A good man leaveth an inheritance for his children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. We read in Proverbs the 13th chapter and verse 22. Have you ever read that scripture before? The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just, and it is beginning to change hands. When you and I begin to act on the Word of God, when we get our speech in line with the Word, we will see God move in our behalf. We have said, "Oh, it looks like the wicked prosper." Well, we said they were. That is one of the reasons they are prospering. You have said, "Oh, they can do anything, and whatever they do will prosper." You've been releasing faith to prosper the wicked. The words of the believer are powerful when spoken in faith. Jesus said, "Nothing shall be impossible to him that believeth." Too many times we have had more faith that the wicked would prosper than we did in God's word to put us over, and that's totally unscriptural. We read in Isaiah the 54th chapter, verse 14 and 15, "In righteousness shalt thou be established, thou shalt be far from oppression, and thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come nigh thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake." Now let's go down to verse 17. "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." Make this your confession. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. In Psalms 1 and 1 through 3, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Notice the word said, "Whatsoever you do shall prosper." It did not say, "Whatsoever the wicked doeth." Verse 4 and 5 of the same chapter says, "The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." So you can see that it is against the word of God to say, "The wicked prosper, and I suffer need." Learn to put the word in confession form. Confess this before you go any further in this book. "No weapon formed against me will prosper, but whatever I do will prosper." Say it again, aloud. Let these words penetrate your spirit. "My God supplieth all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus," as in Philippians 4:19. Start agreeing with the word of God. Start agreeing with the word that your prosperity is sure, physical, spiritual, and financial. The third epistle of John, verse 2, "Beloved, I wish above all things," or as the margin reads, "Beloved, I pray above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Now don't start praying that the wicked will lose everything they have. That will get you in trouble. Just start confessing, "Thank God, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. I thank God that I am the just, and I will get my part by acting on the word of God." They haven't acted on the word, and God said, "The wicked shall be cut off. Their name will rot, and they shall not be found." Notice in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 3, "In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them." The lips of the wise will preserve him. They will preserve him through financial crises. They will preserve him when they say there is a recession or a depression. His lips will preserve him if he confesses what the word says, if he acts on the word. Creative ability. "The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright," Proverbs 15:2. The knowledge that we have, we are to use it aright. "The tongue of the wise useth knowledge." It is the tongue that makes good use of knowledge. Proverbs 15:4 says, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life." A wholesome tongue will bring healing as a tree of life. The wholesome tongue has creative ability. Now down in verse 13, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken." I've seen people come in the prayer line, just start bawling and squalling, "Oh, dear God, I want to be healed. Please heal me. Please heal me." I've stopped them sometimes. "Now, wait a minute. Get a smile on your face, because we're going to pray, and God will heal you. Now, why would you be brokenhearted?" You see, the real reason people beg is they don't believe they'll receive if they ask. Many of the tears shed in prayer lines are tears of self-pity. Self-pity in prayer lines adds up to one thing: faith in the devil's ability to make sickness and disease lord over you. I was in Dallas, Texas in January of 1975 in a certain meeting. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, "Tears of self-pity are a subtle form of unbelief. Do not be deceived by them. Turn to my word, lean heavily upon it. Then you will learn to release your faith and laughter. Then you will surely turn to the enemy in the face of adversity and say, ha, 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 ha." The word said, "By the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken." And we have prayed a lot of times, "Oh Lord, just break me. Break me." He doesn't want you broken. He wants you to act on the word. Now notice verse 15, "All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast." Oh, thank God, he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Then because of that, I didn't laugh until I thought I'd die. I laughed until I knew I would live forever and have a feast while I'm doing it. The Word says, He will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies, Psalms 23:5. Someone said, oh, when we get to heaven, we're going to sit at that banquet table. Well, there won't be any enemies in heaven. It's here on earth he's talking about. Most Christians have put off until the afterlife all the good things. But praise God, you can have it now here on the earth. In fact, I'm convinced the only thing you can't have here on the earth is the glorified body. You can have the kingdom, the benefits, and the right here on the earth. The Bible says it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, Luke 12:32. The literal Greek says the Father took delight in giving you the kingdom. The kingdom of God is in you. Now the good things come out of the heart. Where is the kingdom? It's in the heart. The good things come out of the heart. For Matthew 12:34 says, out of abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. This is the way the good things come out, in word form, spoken words. Words are your ability. It is in your power to release the ability of God. Start saying, the power of God is in me to put me over. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I am quickened according to the word of God. I thank God that the ability of God is released within me. I stand before demons. I stand before sickness and disease. And I have no fear because the ability of God is released within me by the words of my mouth and by the word of God. Praise the name of the Lord. In the 15th chapter of Proverbs, verse 23, it says, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. Now you can see that. A man has joy by what he says. Now that's the reason folks come in the prayer line, squalling, bawling, pleading for God to heal them. They have said, I don't think I'll ever get healed. I'll probably be this way the rest of my life. They don't have any joy because of what they said. They have said, the devil has defeated me. The devil's hindering me. The devil has done this. The devil has done that. Forget the devil and act on the word of God. In 1 Timothy 4:1, Paul said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Paul said they will give too much attention to the devil and his bunch. In a certain church one Sunday, I counted the times the devil's name was mentioned. He got twice as much priority as Jesus. Learn to write his name with a little D. Get your sword. If you want to give any attention to him, give him attention with your sword and whittle up on him for a while. Put the word on him and he'll leave. He won't stay around long. He can't stand the word. But as long as you testify for him, he'll buddy up with you. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. What will teach his mouth? It didn't say God would do it. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth. Now you're back to the kingdom again. Out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Then he said, the heart of the wise teacheth his lips. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones, verse 24 says. Some folks' bones have dried up because they have talked doubt and fear and walked in unbelief. They continually think about what the enemy is doing. They say, oh, the devil is on a rampage today. Some guy wrote a book, the devil is alive and doing well on the earth. That is not true. He is not doing well. No, thank God he's in trouble. He is alive on the earth, but he's not doing well. I tell you for sure. He has knots all over his head. If you haven't put any knots there, well, shame on you. You should have been cutting him up with the sword, the word. Thank God. He's not doing well. Read the back of the book. He loses ground every day. We should be confessing the enemy is losing ground every day. Now, I know, of course, that that was just the title of the book, and I'm not fighting the book. It's just the title that I disagree with. We need to quit saying that. The devil is not doing well on the earth. Now, if you pinpoint what he's doing, it does look like he's doing pretty well. Just get over here on the other side and see what God's doing, and you'll find out that the enemy is not doing so good. There are more people being filled with the Spirit than ever before. Catholics, Methodists, Presbyterian, all denominations, all over. There are prayer meetings going on every night by the hundreds of thousands. They didn't put that on television, did they? They just put what the enemy is doing on TV. Proverbs 18:4 says, "The word of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook." In the Amplified Version of the Bible, verse 7 says, "A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to himself." Now you notice, it didn't say a wicked man, it said a fool. Now, I'm not calling anybody a fool, but I've seen some Christian folks whose mouth was causing destruction. Understand this. The believer is a dangerous person. The enemy doesn't go out and stir up sinners when he wants to cause problems in the church. Their words don't amount to anything. They fall to the ground. But when you start believing what you say will come to pass, then you have creative power going for you. That's the reason the devil wants Christians talking negatively. It will destroy, it will tear down. We need to get wised up on that. You have creative power right in your mouth. Learn to release it wisely and accurately. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid, Paul said. Let God be true and every man a liar. Romans 3:3-4. Then Proverbs 13:13 said, "Who despiseth the word shall be destroyed." God's word is truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Chapter 8. The ability of the tongue. The tongue has the ability to destroy you or put you over in life. Out of the same mouth come blessing and cursing. These things ought not to be so. The words of Jesus ring clearly. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Your heart, or spirit, is programmed by words. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God. Fear comes by hearing what the enemy said. Many Christians have continually confessed the words of their enemy, the devil. They establish his words on the earth and are held in bondage by them. Let's think about this for a minute. No person on this earth who is in his right mind would go around always confessing and saying the same thing his enemy said. You can understand why you would not want to do that in the natural world. You have enough sense to know that your enemy's words are designed to work against you. If you were to say the same thing the enemy said about you, you might be calling yourself a liar, a thief, and a no-good, unworthy sinner. You can see the parallel. That is exactly what the enemy is trying to get you to do with your words. He wants you to create a distorted, unworthy, self-destructive image on the inside of you, in your spirit, with words authored by the enemy of your soul. Jesus tells us in Matthew 12:35, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things." Notice who Jesus said would cause it to be manifest. He didn't say God would do it. Man brings it forth, not out of his head or intellect, but out of his heart. Jesus said that the good things and the bad things of life come out of the heart. They are released out of the mouth. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, and blasphemies. Matthew 15:11-18-19. The last thing the devil ever wants you to see is the facts of the recreated human spirit. Here are some of these facts. You are created in Christ Jesus. You are his workmanship, not your own. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk therein. Ephesians 2:10. And then 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Notice it said all things, old things have passed away. They passed away out of your spirit. All things concerning your spirit have become new. Jesus became sin that you would become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Then 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You as a born-again believer are an heir of God, a joint heir of Jesus. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Romans 8:17. We're fully able to come into the Father's presence without fear or condemnation. You are free from the law of sin that produces spiritual death. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8:1-2. You have become a son of God, so you can be partakers of his divine nature, very capable of fellowshipping with deity. Now, Satan can't do that. He has no fellowship with deity. He's a dead spirit. He cannot function in the realm of the God life as man can. The reborn human spirit is a higher creation. Man was created to have fellowship with deity. Spirit words. The spirit of man is not of this world. It is of the spirit world. The creative ability of man comes through his spirit. When man has God's words abundantly abiding in his heart and speaks it forth in faith, he speaks spirit words that work in the world of the spirit. They will also dominate the physical world. He breathes spirit life into God's word, and it becomes a living substance working for him as it worked for God in the beginning. These spirit words dominate the natural world. Jesus said, "The words that I speak, they are spirit, they are life." John 6:63. They were words of God, received in his spirit, and being abundantly in his spirit or heart, he released faith in word form through the words of his mouth. His words penetrated the spirits of men. Their spirits heard him, and they acted from their spirit on spirit words. John 5:8 says, "Take up thy bed and walk." Mark 5:3 says, "Stretch forth thy hands." Now these are things that Jesus said, statements he made that brought forth great manifestations. Mark 5:41, "Damsel, I say unto you, arise." Luke 7:14, "Young man, I say unto you, arise." John 11:43, "Lazarus, come forth." The words he spoke were truly spirit words, full of life. It is that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Romans 8:11, "But if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." It does make mortal bodies alive. Spirit words spoken by Jesus ignited the faith that was already residing in these people. It caused an explosion of God's ability on their behalf. It was all set in motion by words spoken in faith. Faith to be healed. I remember a few years ago I was teaching in a faith seminar in Arkansas. One night a lady came forward in the prayer line to be ministered to for someone else by the laying on of hands. As I do quite often, I said to her, "Sister, raise your hands and make a faith statement of what will happen when hands are laid on you in the name of Jesus." She raised her hands no higher than her shoulders and said, "I can't raise them any higher than this." I said, "Why not?" She said, "Because of this arthritis." I heard the Spirit of God say, "Yes, she can, in the name of Jesus." I just touched her on the forehead and said, "Yes, you can, in the name of Jesus." She said, "Well, praise the Lord," and both hands went up over her head instantly. Sometimes you have to shock people into releasing their faith. She had faith to be healed. The Spirit of God revealed that to me. Now, if I had asked her if she had faith to be healed of that condition, she would probably have said, "No, if I did, I wouldn't have it now." Probably no one had ever told her she could raise her hands over her head. Most people agreed she couldn't, but Faith dared to speak, and she believed. Proclaim more boldly. I was in Walnut Ridge, Arkansas, one night to speak at a full gospel businessmen's meeting. Before the service started, someone called in a prayer request. A baby had just been born prematurely, and the doctor said he couldn't live. They had sent the baby to Memphis, Tennessee, in an ambulance. The doctor had already told the family that the baby would die. He could not live. As I heard the request, I said to myself, I bind those words in the name of Jesus, and I say the baby will live and not die. Then the man called me to pray for that request. As I walked to the front, I began to realize that now we're going to find out if I really believe what I said within myself. So I stood up to pray. I asked the congregation to agree with me in prayer. I prayed a simple prayer. Father, you said in your word, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. So we come in behalf of this baby, who the doctor says will die. I say in the name of Jesus, the baby will live and not die. I say in the name of Jesus, that healing power flows to that baby, and it will live and not die. Now, instantly, my head gave me trouble, and it was really the devil putting these thoughts in my mind. He said, you're a nut. You're going to look silly because the baby is already dead. My head was screaming, the baby is dead already. But the Lord had spoken to me a few months before and said, when the dry winds of doubt begin to blow, just proclaim more boldly that which you hear in your spirit. He said, that was what he did at the tomb of Lazarus. So I said in my prayer several times, the baby will live and not die. Well, we had a good meeting there that night. Several people were healed. About 2 or 3 weeks later, I received a letter from the president of the Full Gospel Businessmen chapter there, and he told me this story, and I quote, as I left the meeting that night, I went by the hospital to see the family of the child. He said it was the hardest thing I ever did. It took all the faith I had to tell them the baby will live and not die. But you told me to do it, so I did. I told them the baby will live and not die. Well, I read the letter and I asked my wife if I told him to do that because I didn't remember doing it. She said, no, I didn't hear you say that. So it must have been the Lord who spoke that into his spirit. Now, I'm glad he did, but I didn't tell him to do it. The family was already resigned to accept what the doctor had said and had already given the baby up to die. The doctor had said the baby would not live until it reached Memphis. The baby did live and within a few days was doing fine. About 10 days later, the father, who was not born again, brought the baby to the church and testified to the fact that God had miraculously healed the child. The power of faith-filled words. It could have been a very different story if we had said, well, if it's the Lord's will, if God doesn't undertake, he will die. No, thank God, Jesus said you can have what you say. That being true, why not learn to say what you desire, not what seems to exist? Mark 11:23-24 tells us, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Oh, the power of faith-filled words. I simply spoke boldly the desired results in prayer, and because it was spoken boldly and emphatic, it caused many people to agree with my words. Jesus said, if two of you agree on earth, it shall be done by the Father which is in heaven. The president of the Full Gospel chapter proved he believed it by saying it to the whole family. He really believed in his heart. It was the abundance of faith in his heart that caused him to speak forth when the family had given the child up. When you speak more boldly, more people will agree with you. And let me add this update to that. I was back there 2 years later and held that 2-year-old boy in my arms as his mother gave the testimony of how God miraculously healed her child. And it was a joy to hold in my arms a child that was alive because believers agreed together and saw the power of God manifest. Faith-filled words spark others' faith. Faith-filled words spark others' faith that is dormant, are inactive, and cause it to be released. There is creative power released when you proclaim boldly things that are in agreement with the Word of God, and it causes others to release their faith. Faith resides in the Spirit. Notice very carefully what happened in Acts, the 14th chapter, verses 8 through 10. There was a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. And the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. Paul perceived by the Spirit of God that the cripple man had faith sufficient to bring healing. The faith was not in the physical man. It does not operate through the physical. The words Paul spoke were creative power. They were spirit words inspired of the Spirit of God. He spoke them to the man on the inside. If he had been talking to the man's physical mind, he would have had to explain to him that he did have faith. But the spirit man is where faith resides. Physical words would be used to speak to physical man. The words Paul spoke would have made no sense whatsoever to the physical intellect. Spirit words. Words filled with the Spirit, not authored by man, authored by God, but spoken by Paul. Stand upright on thy feet. Now you realize that he is talking to the man on the inside, the spirit man. It would have been useless to tell the physical man to stand up. He had never walked. His intellect knew physically he could not do that. If it could have been done physically by the man himself, don't you know he would not have stayed in that condition? But it was beyond his physical and mental ability. The ability had come from his spiritual resources.
The Tongue, a Creative Force, by Charles Capps, tape number 3. It was beyond his physical and mental ability. The ability had to come from his spiritual resources, the spirit man on the inside of him. However, they were received into his spirit. Stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. Spirit words received into his spirit release spiritual power in his physical body. This creative ability of spirit words formed in his spirit and produced physical results. Faith must be released. In Acts 9:34, Peter spoke to a man who had been bedfast for 8 years. He did not pray for him, nor did he tell him he would remember him in prayer as we so often do. Peter spoke to the man's spirit. And Peter said unto him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, make thy bed." And he arose immediately. This was an impossible task for the physical man. But Peter's words went deeper than the physical. His tongue formed spirit words, creative power, that ignited faith that was pent up in the spirit man, but had never been released into action form. James 2:20, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Faith that is not released into action is as gas that has not been ignited. It produces no power." In James 3:6, the Word says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." In other words, the tongue, in the untamed state, is a fire and a world of wickedness, and the fire that is in the tongue is from hell. Natural humanity cannot tame or control this fire that is in the tongue. But, oh, thank God, Jesus made provisions for this tongue to be not only tamed, but also set aflame with the Holy Ghost fire. Acts 1:8 says, "Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire," Luke 3:16. Then we find in Acts, the second chapter, verse 3, in the Amplified, "And there appeared unto them tongues resembling fire, which were separated and distributed, and that settled upon each of them." And then Acts 2:4, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Natural men become supernatural. Two marvelous things happened to the 120 on the day of Pentecost. First, they were born again.
John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, speaking to Nicodemus, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Natural men become supernatural men when they're born again. Jesus said you can put new wine in, you can't put new wine in old bottles. New wine must be put in new bottles. They became new creation men. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Supernatural men that never existed before in this righteous state. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. They were not now sinners saved by grace, but new creations in Christ. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk therein, no longer totally subject to their natural ability. Second, they were baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Luke 3:16. And they spoke with tongues, with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. The tongue that had been on unruly evil, full of deadly poison, set on fire of hell, was now set aflame of the Holy Ghost. God's Spirit has come to abide in the spirits of men. John 14:16, Jesus said, And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Yes, supernatural men, born of God. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and every one that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, even our faith. Men that will overcome the world and have dominion over the circumstances of life. Men that would dare speak as God spoke. Men with tongues of fire. Men who dare say to a man who had been a hopeless cripple for 40 years, who had never walked one step in his entire life, In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he leaping up, stood and walked and entered into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. Acts 3:6-8. Peter's tongue, now a flame of the Holy Ghost, had become a creative force releasing God's ability. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart need to be acceptable in the sight of the Lord. We should confess, I let no corrupt communication proceed out of my mouth, but that which is good to edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer. In Proverbs 18:20, it says, A man's belly, or innermost being, shall be satisfied by the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. The Amplified Version of the Bible says, A man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth, and with the consequence of his words he must be satisfied, whether good or evil. Proverbs 18:21 says, Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. The Amplified Version says, Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it, for death or life. Proverbs 13:3, Amplified Version, He who guards his mouth keepeth his life. Now James 3:6 says this about the tongue, It is set on fire of hell, it is full of death-carrying venom. It can kill you, or it can release the life of God within you. Chapter 9. God's creative power will work for you. The Great Confession. Christianity is called the Great Confession. But most Christians who are defeated in life are defeated because they believe and confess the wrong things. They have spoken the words of the enemy, and those words hold them in bondage. Proverbs 6:2 says, Thou art snared by the words of thy mouth. Faith-filled words will put you over. Fear-filled words will defeat you. Words are the most powerful thing in the universe. Their importance is seen from Genesis 1. Let us make man in our image, through Revelations, which says, They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Revelations 12:11. God created the universe with the spoken word. Through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. Hebrews 11:3. In Genesis 1 is a copy of the words God used to release his faith. John 1:1-3 tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. It was the Word that was with God, and the Word was God. One of the laws of Genesis is that everything produces after his kind. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed and fruit yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Genesis 1:11-2. Then in Genesis 1, verses 26 through 28, we find three of the most astounding statements found in the Bible. Number one, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. The number two statement, so God created man in his image. And the number three statement, replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Man was created in God's class, very capable of operating in the same kind of faith. Man is a spirit. He has a soul. He lives in a body. Genesis 2:7 tells us God made man's body out of the dust of the earth, but plainly states, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That life was spirit life, the very life of God. Man is a spirit being, very capable of operating on the same level of faith as God. We read in Mark 9:23, where Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Matthew 17:20 says, and Jesus said unto them, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Mark 11:23 says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Spiritual law. This is not theory, it's fact. It is spiritual law. It works every time it's applied correctly. God never does anything without saying it first. God is a faith God. God releases his faith in words. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Mark 11:22. A more literal translation of the above verse says, have the faith of God, or faith, God kind of faith. Ephesians 5:1 literally tells us to be imitators of God as children imitate their parents. To imitate God, you must talk like him and act like him. He would not ask you to do something that you're not capable of doing. Jesus operated in the faith principle of Mark 11:23 and Matthew 17:20 while he was on the earth. He spoke to the wind. He spoke to the sea. He spoke to demons. He spoke to the fig tree. He even spoke to dead men. The wind, the sea, the trees, the demons, and even the dead were obedient to what Jesus said. He operated in the God kind of faith. God is a faith God. God releases his faith in words. Jesus was imitating his Father and getting the same results as his Father. In John 14:12, Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater. These principles of faith are based on spiritual laws. They work for whosoever will apply these laws. You set them in motion by the words of your mouth. That's the way you were saved, by confessing Jesus as Lord. Because the Word says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:9-10. Faith-filled words released out of your mouth defeat Satan and create the reality of God's Word in your spirit. Speaking God's Word after Him caused you to become a new creation that never existed before. Jesus said, "He shall have whatsoever he saith." It wouldn't happen just because you said it. You must release faith in the words you speak from the heart. You must believe that those things which you're saying will come to pass. This law is working for or against you every day. Do you really want all the negative things you've been confessing to come to pass? Are you believing for those things? If Jesus came to you personally and said, "From this day forward, it will come to pass that everything you say will happen exactly as you say it," would that change your vocabulary? I believe it would. Binding and loosing. In Matthew 16:19, Jesus said, "I give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Psalms 119:89 tells us, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." What God said is already established. Now it's up to you. What are you going to say about it? God will not alter the things he said. Psalms 89:34 tells us, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the things that is gone out of my lips." Whose words will you establish on the earth? The power of binding and loosing is on earth. It's not in heaven. According to Matthew 16:19, you're the one doing the binding. He said, "All heaven will stand behind what you say." Many Christians have bound their finances and loosed the enemy by the words of their mouth. They have bound their spiritual growth by confessing the enemy's ability to hinder them. They have more faith in the enemy to defeat them than they have in God to put them over. And there is no scriptural basis for that kind of belief, or should I say, unbelief. World overcomer. The word says that he that is born of God overcometh the world. 1 John 5:4. You are a world overcomer. Confess it right now. I am a world overcomer because I am born of God. I am a world overcomer because I am born of God. We ought to say it again and again. You may not feel like it. The word didn't say you were if you felt like it. God's word said you were. How you feel has nothing to do with God being truthful. If he said, "I'm a world overcomer," then thank God, that's good enough for me. I'm not a world overcomer because of how I feel or how I look. I don't always feel like one. I don't always look like one. But thank God, because he said I am a world overcomer, and I confess it daily. It's true, and I know it. But I confessed it aloud before God the Father, Jesus, the angels, before demons, and anyone else who would listen for months before I began to feel like it was true. The feeling came only after my spirit received God's word as the final authority. God's word said it. Then whether I feel like it or not, God cannot lie. Spoken words. Words spoken program your spirit or heart either to success or defeat. Words are containers. They carry faith or fear, and they produce after their kind. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, as Romans 10:17 says. Faith comes more quickly when you hear yourself quoting, speaking, saying the things that God said. You will more readily receive God's word into your spirit by hearing yourself saying it than if you hear someone else say it. Live in the authority of the word. The Spirit of God spoke to me concerning confessing the Word of God aloud, where you can hear yourself saying it. He said to me, "It is a scientific application of the wisdom of God to the psychological makeup of man." And it works, thank God. The body of Christ must begin to live in the authority of the Word, for God's Word is creative power. That creative power is produced by the heart, formed by the tongue, and released out of the mouth in word form. In August of 1973, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, if men would believe me, long prayers are not necessary. Just speaking the word will bring what you desire. My creative power is given to man in word form. I have ceased for a time from my work and have given men the book of my creative power. That power is still in my word. But for it to be effective, men must speak it in faith. Jesus spoke it when he was on earth, and it worked then, so shall it work now. But it must be spoken by the body. Man must rise up and have dominion over the power of evil by my word. It is my greatest desire that my people create a better life by the spoken word. For my word has not lost its power just because it was spoken once. It is still equally as powerful today as when I said, let there be light. But for my word to be effective, men must speak it, and that creative power will come forth performing that which is spoken in faith. My word is not void of power. My people are void of speech. They hear the world. They speak as the world speaks. By observing circumstances, they have lost sight of my word. They even speak that which the enemy says, and they destroy their own inheritance by corrupt communication of fear and unbelief. No word of mine is void of power, only powerless when it is unspoken. As there is creative power in my spoken word, so is there evil power present in the words of the enemy to afflict and oppress every one that speaks them. Be not conformed, but be ye transformed into the body of faith, knowing that my words are alive evermore. Believe, speak, obtain, that your joy may be full, and you shall be complete in me. Now he spoke that to me in August of 1973, and these truths changed my life. I've never been the same since. You'll never be the same after learning the faith principles of Mark 11, 23, 24, and Matthew 17, 20, and Psalms 107 and 2. Your confession will come into line with the Word of God. You will have learned to release the ability of God within you by the spoken Word. Learn to confess victory in the face of apparent defeat. Confess abundance in the face of apparent lack. Even as you read this, there may seem to be pressing needs, but my God is able, and he will deliver you. He will supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, which is the Word of God. In September of 1973, the Lord spoke to me concerning a teaching ministry. He said to me, teach my people how to make my creative power work for them. Then June of 1974, I was teaching a faith seminar in Hickory, North Carolina. My text was taken from Mark 11:23. The word of the Lord came unto me as I was teaching and spoke one of the most profound statements that I ever heard. It was very simple, but when Jesus spoke, he never did make anything hard to understand. It's so simple that it almost seems foolish, but it has changed many lives. It'll change your life as you receive it. Let's put it in the context of that which he spoke. Mark 11:23 says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. As I was teaching from this text, Jesus said to me, I have told my people they can have what they say, and they, are my people, are saying what they have. Now I'll say that again. He said to me, I have told my people they can have what they say, and he says, my people are saying what they have. Now that's a very simple truth, but oh, how profound and far-reaching. For as long as you say what you have, you will have what you say, then you again say what you have, and it will produce no more than what you say. You can see that you have set in a spiritual law in motion that will continue to work and confine you to the very position of or circumstances you find yourself in when you set the law in motion. It is an age-old problem of not looking beyond what you can see with the physical eye. The things that are seen are temporal. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:18, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." The word temporal means subject to change. The circumstances of life, your position in life, the problems you face in life are very real to you because you see them. You feel them. You hear them, but thank God, the very fact that you can see and touch them means they are subject to change. A correct application of this spiritual law will change even the most impossible situation. But to incorrectly apply this law will hold you in bondage and cause the circumstance to grow worse. Every faith principle, every spiritual law that God set forth in His Word was for your benefit. It was designed to put you over in life. It was not designed to hold you back or to put you in bondage. But just as Satan has perverted nature to cause storms, floods, destruction, so has he set out to pervert the law of God, or God's Word, in the minds and the hearts of God's people to the point where it looks as though God is the author of poverty, sickness, and the problems of life. The truth is, in so many cases, the deception of Satan that has caused an incorrect application of certain spiritual laws that defeated so many at the game of life. God's Word is spiritual law. God's Word always works, but the same law can work for or against you depending on how you apply it. Sometimes people will start confessing that they will not have enough money to make the payment on their house 3 months before they're due. They continue to confess lack and inability to obtain the money several times a day until the day finally arrives. Then they proudly announce through tears of self-pity, "See, I told you we couldn't make the payments. We never have enough money to go around. I can't understand why the people next door prosper in their wickedness." If you were to listen to the wicked people next door, you would hear a different confession. Daily, they probably confess and believe in prosperity. They talk prosperity. They live it. Wicked? Yes. But they believe that what they do will prosper. They build a faith image inside themselves by the words they speak. Many Christians who hear them think that they are just bragging when they are simply believing in prosperity and practicing it. Jesus himself said the children of the world are wiser than the children of the kingdom. Wicked? Yes. But God is no respecter of person. They have learned the power of words. Many of them don't know what makes it work. They just know it works. They practice it. It's spiritual law. Learn to release your faith in words. You can have what you say if you learn to release faith from the heart in your words. Jesus said in Matthew 8:13, "As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." He didn't say it would only work for you if you believed right. Whether you believe right or wrong, it's still a law. God is not mocked, but whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The spiritual law is based on the same basic principle of seed time and harvest. The words you speak are seeds that produce after their kind. Just as sure as they are planted, you can be equally sure a harvest will follow. Faith as a seed. In Luke chapter 17, verse 6, the Bible says, "And the apostle said unto the Lord, Increase our faith. And the Lord said, If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, Be thou plucked up by the root, be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you." We find in the above scripture that Jesus spoke of a seed that was so full of faith that it would speak. The apostles had asked him to give them more faith. Jesus didn't indicate they needed more faith. In so many words, he said, "You don't need more faith. You need to sow the seed you already have." Jesus told two great secrets in verse 6. Number one, faith is a seed. Number two, the way you plant a seed of faith is to say it. Faith talks. And when faith talks faith, not fear and unbelief. Jesus said your faith would speak to the object, or the sycamine tree, and it should obey you. Now let's bring this into focus. It, poverty, should obey you. You said, we don't have enough money. We will never be able to meet the payments. And it, poverty, followed you home. You sneezed and said, I'm taking a cold. And it, the cold, was obedient to your words. And the virus fastened itself upon your body. You said, I can't remember anything anymore. And it, your memory, became obedient to your words. You said, my nerves are on edge. And it, your nerves, became obedient. Because Jesus said, it should obey you. Then again we find the words of Jesus. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Jesus did not say God would move the mountain. That mustard seed has faith in the ability that resides on the inside of it, not in the hull that surrounds it. Jesus said, if you have faith in the ability of he that is inside you, you shall say, remove, and it, the mountain, or the object, shall remove. Faith is the voice of authority. These things know the voice of authority. Your faith is your voice of authority. Be careful what you authorize things to do. Jesus said you can have what you say, and many have prophesied defeat month after month until the harvest time finally came, and it was true to the law of Genesis. Defeat, lack, inability was harvested in abundance. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. I know a family who planned a trip abroad. But several weeks before they were to leave, the lady began to sow seed by the word of her mouth. She told several people on different occasions, I know exactly what will happen. The day we are ready to leave, my kids will come down sick. The very day they were to leave, the harvest came. Her boy was sick. She was heard to proclaim very proudly, I knew it would happen. I have said all along, the day when we leave, my kids will get sick. The fruit of her mouth had won out again, and she was rather pleased that she had been able to prophesy it several weeks in advance. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. Proverbs 12:14. Proverbs 16:30 says, he shutteth his eyes to divine froward things, moving his lips he bringeth evil to pass. The words of Jesus somehow seem to fit here. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and the evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. Notice who brought them forth. Men and not God. The treasures of the heart cannot be hidden, but are manifest through words. Learn to take the words of Jesus personally. Mark 11:23, Jesus tells you that you can have what you say, if what you say comes from faith in your heart. What would happen if Jesus walked down the aisles of your church, laid his hands on people and said, it'll come to pass that after I have laid my hands on each one of you, everything you say will happen just as you say it. Half the congregation would jump up and say, ooh, that tickles me to death. And you would be 2 weeks burying the dead. The enemy has so programmed the minds of people until, instead of resisting him, they have just sort of buddied up with him and began to talk his language. Train yourself to speak God's word. Let us train ourselves to speak God's word effectively. Ephesians 5:1 tells us to be followers of God as dear children. The word followers in the Greek means to imitate. We are to imitate God as a child does his father. If a child imitates his father, he will walk like him, he will talk like him, and pattern his every move after him. We should do no less after our father, God. Jesus said, I do that which I see my father do, in John 5:19. He said, his father hath given him a commandment, what he should speak. Let's read it out of the Amplified Version of the Bible, John 12:47-50. If anyone hears my teaching and fails to observe them, does not keep them, but disregards them, it is not I who judges him, for I have not come to judge and to condemn, to pass sentence, and to inflict penalty on the world, but to save the world. Anyone who rejects me and persistently sets me at naught, refusing to accept my teaching, has his judge, however, for the very message that I have spoken will itself judge and convict him on the last day. This is because I have never spoken of my own authority or my own accord or self-appointed, but the Father who has sent me has himself given me orders what to say and what to tell. And I know that his commandments, that is, means eternal life. So whatever I speak, I am saying exactly what my Father has told me to say and in accordance with his instructions. I'll paraphrase the above scripture. Jesus said, "The Father gave me instructions what I should say," and those words spoken would produce life, and whatever I speak is exactly what the Father said. When you study the life of Jesus, you find several important facts that caused him to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. I will list a few. Number one, he spent much time in prayer, but he never prayed the problem. He prayed the answer. What God said is the answer. Number two, he spoke accurately, never crooked speech. His conversation always consisted of what God said. Number three, he always spoke the end results, not the problem. Never did he confess present circumstances. He spoke the desired results. Number four, he used the written word to defeat Satan. For example, in Matthew 4, verse 3 through 11, "And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But Jesus answered, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone. Then as we go on down, it says, Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him." Satan left only after Jesus said, Get thee hence. Number five, Jesus always spoke directly to the problem, such as trees, storms, waves, demons, and Satan, and they all obeyed him. Contrary to what most of us have thought, they did not obey Jesus because he was the Son of God, but because he was the Son of Man. John 5, 26 and 27 tells us, "For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." Not because he's the Son of God, but because he is the Son of Man. He operated as a man on the authority of his Father's Word. Don't misunderstand. He was the Son of God, but he operated as the Son of Man. People who are born on this earth are the ones who have authority here. That is why God works through men. Jesus knew how to operate in the authority of God's Word. It stands out very vividly in Matthew 4, 10 and 11. Where he said, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, then the devil leaveth him." He, the devil, will leave you as quickly as he did Jesus when you speak boldly the written word. The word of God, conceived in the heart, formed by the tongue, and spoken out of the mouth, is creative power. The spoken word will work for you as you continue to confess it. Chapter 10. God's Word is medicine, as given to me by the great physician. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 through 22, says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to those that find them, and health or medicine to all their flesh." God's Word ministers to the total man. His Word, Jesus, is our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Most people have used the words of their own mouth to hold themselves in bondage. But as you begin to speak the Word of God from the heart, it will produce liberty. It will produce the health and the healing the Word says it would. Most people have spoken contrary to the Word. They have spoken things that the devil has said. They have quoted what the enemy has said about them. Therefore, they have established on earth the words the enemy has said. If we will begin to establish the things God said and establish His Word on this earth, then thank God we will rise to a new level of faith. We will walk in the level of life where we release the ability of God by the words of our mouth. We can release the ability of God within ourselves by the words of our mouth and cause His Word and His power to become available in us. Let's learn to take God's medicine daily. The confessions that I'm about to share with you came from studying the Word of God and writing down the things that pertain to me as a believer. I found it in God's Word, wrote it on a scratch pad, and carried it and confessed it day in and day out until it changed my life. And it'll change your life, too, if you'll begin to put God's Word in your mouth and say what God said about you. Gospel capsules is what we call it. To defeat worry and fear, confess these gospels 3 times a day. And when you do this, say it out loud where you can hear yourself say it. This is the key to forming the Word of God in your spirit and training the human spirit. I start off by praising God this way and saying it and worshiping God in these confessions. I will leave off the scripture reference, so it will be a continuous flow of the Word of God. You can look up the references in the book. I like personally to pray and to say these things over and over. We'll do it as though we were praying it. You can do it any way you please. Father, now I thank You that I am the body of Christ, and Satan hath no power over me, for I overcome evil with good. I am of God, and have overcome Satan, for greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Your Word and Your Spirit, Father, they comfort me. I'm far from oppression. Fear does not come nigh me. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper, for my righteousness is of the Lord. But whatever I do will prosper, for I'm like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. I am delivered from the evils of this present world, for it is the will of God. No evil will befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling. For You have given Your angels charge over me, Father, and they keep me in all my ways, and in my pathway is life, and there is no death. I am a doer of the Word of God, and I am blessed in my deeds. I am happy in those things which I do, because I am a doer of the Word of God. Now, Father, I take the shield of faith, in obedience to Your Word, and I quench every fiery dart of the wicked one that comes against me. For Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I forbid any sickness or disease to come upon this body. Every disease germ and every virus that touches this body dies instantly in the name of Jesus. Every organ, every tissue of this body functions in the perfection to which God created it to function. And I forbid any malfunction in this body in the name of Jesus. I am an overcomer, Father, and I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. The devil flees from me, Father, because I resist him in the name of Jesus. And Father, Your word is forever settled in heaven. Therefore, I establish Your word upon the earth. Great is the peace of my children, for they are taught of the Lord. For material needs, confess these 3 times a day. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed me from poverty. Christ has redeemed me from sickness. Christ has redeemed me from spiritual death. For poverty, Father, You have given me wealth. For sickness, You have given me health. For death, You have given me eternal life. And Father, it's true unto me according to Your word. I delight myself in the Lord, and You give me the desires of my heart. For I have given, and it is given unto me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over to men given to my bosom. For with what measure I meet, it is measured unto me. I sow bountifully, therefore I reap bountifully. I give cheerfully, and my God hath made all grace abound toward me, that I, having all sufficiency of all things, do abound to every good work. Now, Father, there is no lack. For You have supplied all my need according to Your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd, and I do not want, because Jesus was made poor, that I through His poverty might have abundance. For He came that I might have life, and have it more abundantly. Now, Father, I have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, and I do reign as a king in life by one, Jesus Christ. The Lord hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servants, and Abraham's blessings are mine. Praise God, and for wisdom and guidance, confess or pray these three times a day. The Spirit of truth that abides in me, he teaches me all things. He guides me into all truths. Therefore, I confess that I have perfect knowledge of every situation and every circumstance of life that I come up against, for I have the wisdom of God. I feel impressed to share these things with you as I go along on some of these verses that we confess. When you confess the Spirit of truth abides in you and teaches you all things, guides you into all truths, then you release the ability of God to rise up within you. People that are always confessing, I don't know what to do. I never do know what to do. I just don't know what God wants me to do. You shut God off. You release God by quoting His Word and admitting that the Spirit of truth is revealing to you, because that's what God's Word said. I trust in the Lord with all of my heart, and I lean not to my own understanding. No, I don't lean upon my own self and on my own ability, but I lean upon God's ability, for His ability abides within me. In all my ways I acknowledge Him, and He directs my path. God continually directs my path. I confess it daily. He directs my path. The Word of God is a lamp unto my feet. It is a light unto my path. Thank God my pathway is lighted by the Word of God, and it's not only a lamp unto my feet, but it lights the way that I walk. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. The Lord is always perfecting and bringing into manifestation that which concerns me. I let the Word of Christ dwell in me richly in all wisdom. I do follow the Good Shepherd, and I know His voice, and the voice of a stranger I will not follow. Now, the Word says that the sheep know His voice. And if we confess that we don't know the voice of the Lord, or don't know the voice of the Good Shepherd, then we've violated the principles of the Word of God. We've bound God, are keeping Him from revealing to us His wisdom. Jesus has made unto me wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Therefore I confess that I have the wisdom of God, and I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am filled with the knowledge of the Lord's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I continually confess that I am filled with the knowledge of the Lord's will and all spiritual understanding, because that's what the Word tells us in Colossians 1:9. So we agree with that and release God's ability to reveal in us the wisdom of God. I am a new creation in Christ. I am His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Therefore, I have the mind of Christ, and the wisdom of God is formed within me. I'm the new creation. I'm His workmanship. Now, God would not create any unworthy workmanship. Therefore, I have the mind of Christ, and God's wisdom is continually, daily, becoming available through me as I meditate the Word, as I continually say what God said. For the Word said that His Word will not return unto Him void. I have put off the old man, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of Him that created me. Now, you notice these are all Scripture. That Scripture comes from Colossians 3:10. I am proclaiming what God's Word has said about me. I want you to understand this. This is very vital. Some people have thought, well, all you got to do is say it. No, let's understand where it's coming from. Let's understand that it's available to you today, and it's what God has said concerning you. When you agree with that, you release God's ability to move in your behalf. I received the Spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, and I am not conformed to this world, but I am transformed by the renewing of my mind. My mind is renewed by the Word of God. Scripture reference, Ephesians 1, 17-18, and Romans 12:2. We receive the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, and we are not conformed to this world, because we're being transformed by quoting, speaking, and saying what God said about us, and it will truly renew your mind to the Word of God. For comfort and strength, confess these as often as necessary. I am increasing in the knowledge of God. I am strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Colossians 1:10-11. Well, you notice that we're saying that we're increasing in God's knowledge and being strengthened with His might. No, we're not saying, as the world would say, well, I'm just so run down, I'm just so no good, I'm so unworthy, and just so dragging along through this earth as a pilgrim. No, no, that's not what God's Word says about us. It says that we're increasing in the knowledge of God. I am delivered from the powers of darkness, and I am translated into the kingdom of the dear Son of God. Colossians 1:13. All right, now you notice he says we are delivered. The Bible said we are delivered, not going to be someday, not someday, by and the pie in the sky. We are delivered from the powers of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the dear Son of God. I am born of God and have world-overcoming faith residing on the inside of me. For greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. 1 John 5:4-5 and 1 John 4:4. We're born of God. We're born of God. We're born of love, because God is love. For greater is he that's in me. The greater one dwelleth in us. If he's in us, then he'll put us over in life if we'll walk in his way. So we continually confess that daily, that the greater one is in me. It'll supply spiritual strength and wisdom for you daily. I will do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:13. Well, if we'll confess that daily, we may not feel like it, we may not look like it, and we may think that we're lying, but that's what Paul said. The Holy Spirit inspired Paul to say that. And if we'll follow in the footsteps of what the Holy Spirit inspired, you see, that's the reason that Paul could do so many things that other people thought couldn't be done, because he believed that Christ was strengthening him, and he's doing it through Christ's strength, not his own. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The Lord is the strength of my life. Well, isn't that much better than going around and saying, well, I'll tell you, I just feel like I'm just on my last leg. I don't know whether I'm going to be able to make it or not. No, you may feel that way, but don't confess it. Don't speak it. Don't say it. Don't give the devil any place. Confess what the Word said, and the Word said the joy of the Lord is your strength, and the Lord is the strength of your life. Scripture reference, Nehemiah 8:10 and Psalms 27:1. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keeps my heart and my mind through Christ Jesus. In all things which are good and pure and perfect and lovely and of good report, I think on these things. Well, now you can readily see that if God's peace is going to stay in your heart, you're going to have to turn your mind and your heart and your thought toward the good things of life, and not dwell on the bad and the evil and all that's going wrong in the earth. Sure, the devil's doing things in the earth. Sure, there's crime going on every night. Sure, there's banks being robbed. Sure, ain't so-and-so is dying with such-and-such. But look upon the good things. Dwell upon that which is good. If you're going to have peace of mind, if you're going to have the peace of God dwelling in your heart, don't ignore the bad things. Do something about them by quoting God's Word over them. Yes, pray for Aunt Susie or whoever it is that's sick. And pray for the things that you won't manifest in this earth, in our government. Do something about them in that light, but then don't go to bed and worry about it all night. If you're going to worry about it, no need of praying. And if you're going to pray, no need to worry. So begin to deal with the good things. Think upon that which is good and pure, perfect, lovely, of good report, as Paul said in Philippians 4:7-8. I let no corrupt communication proceed out of my mouth, but that which is good to edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer. And I grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby I am sealed unto the day of redemption. Ephesians 4:15. Don't let corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Sure, you may want to at times, but speak only that which is edifying, so it'll give grace to the hearer, and then you'll not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I speak the truth of the Word of God in love, and I grow up into the Lord Jesus in all things. Ephesians 4:29-30. Speak God's Word in love. Do it in love, and you'll grow up into the Lord Jesus in all things. No man will take me out of his hand, for I have eternal life. John 10:29. I let the peace of God rule in my heart, and I refuse to worry about anything. Colossians 3:15. Now notice, the Word said, to let the peace of God rule in your heart.
evidently you have the ability to let it do that. Now, you can either stop it or let it. You can worry and not let the peace of God rule. But if you make up your mind that God's peace is going to rule, you'll put away worry. That'll stop worry. If you quote God's word and continually dwell on the good, worry will leave.
I'll not let the word of God depart from before my eyes, for it is life to me, for I found it, and it is health and healing to all my flesh. Proverbs 4:21-22. God is on my side. God is in me now. Who can be against me? He hath given unto me all things that pertain to life and godliness. Therefore, I'm a partaker of the divine nature. 2 Corinthians 6:16, John 10:10, 2 Peter 1:3-4, and Romans 8:31. I'm a believer, and these signs do follow me. In the name of Jesus, I cast out demons. I speak with new tongues. I lay hands on the sick, and they do recover. Mark 16:17-18. Jesus gave me the authority to use his name, and that which I bind on earth is bound in heaven. That which I loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Therefore, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world. I bind and cast down spiritual wickedness in high places and render them harmless and ineffective against me in the name of Jesus. Matthew 16:19, John 16:23-24, Ephesians 6:12. I am complete in him who is the head of all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. For I am his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that I should walk therein. Colossians 2:10, Ephesians 2:10. God created the universe by the methods which you have just put in motion by the words of your mouth. God released his faith in words. Man is created in the image of God. Therefore, man releases his faith in words. Words are the most important and powerful thing in the universe today. Let me say it again. The word of God, conceived in the human spirit, formed by the tongue, and spoken out of the mouth, becomes creative power that will work for you. If the body of Christ would only grasp the truths and the principles that are taught in this book and put them in action, they would change this world in 24 hours. Jesus said to me, I have told my people they can have what they say, but my people are saying what they have.